about.
You have to start moping around the house. It's not good for you. It's time to decide what it is that you want to do, and then do it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
See, like, once you lick it, then it's the flavor's gone? Or do you have to keep... You keep licking it? I'm
really?
Stop talking.
Honestly, you want to
please don't. Please don't. We don't have enough tape yet.
So how long do you usually lick it, Allie?
Well, that's my question, because if you lick it once, is it done? Or do you have to keep licking?
Depends what a good licker you are.
I would keep licking.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, motherfucker.
And now.
I'm offended by something on the internet, and there should be nothing offending on the internet. How dare you offend me? This is the internet. You can't offend me.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 19th of October.
I like our new feature, Lick Talk.
Yeah.
I don't like that when you say it, though. I liked it when it was what
well,
I
that's
heard
just
it
the title.
I know, but I just...
I'm not talking about licking.
Okay,
that's,
good.
That's Allie's specialty. I'm just saying
making
the name,
thank you
name
for
of the feature is Lick Talk. So I hope it gets renewed for a second season.
I do, too. I got bills.
How are y'all?
Great. I mean,
never
bummed
better.
About the Dodgers, but other than that, I'm fine.
Dodgers lose?
Yeah.
But haven't they gone unbeaten in the playoffs?
Yeah, this was their first loss.
I mean, That's ridiculous.
It is.
That's crazy good.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is just a bump.
Yeah, and they got Clayton Kershaw today.
All right.
And then he lost by a run. I mean, it's not like they fell apart.
Mm-mm.
It's not like they no longer know how to play baseball. They're fine.
There is something magical about just running through people when you're in the playoffs, and you know you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Yes. You're not supposed to be able to just run through teams like that.
Yeah, there's a reason why the other team is also on the field, because they're very good and they beat a lot of people to get here. But I'm not the tiniest bit worried. Are you the tiniest bit worried, Allie?
No.
Not even the tiniest
Mm-mm.
bit? It just doesn't happen.
No. I mean, I'm not going to say Yankees. Not the tiniest, because I remember 2004 Red Sox.
Right.
Who were down 3 games
But that's
in the
only
ALCS.
Time it's ever happened.
Absolutely. And that was a once-in-a-lifetime magical team. And sorry, Cubs, you're not that.
Exactly. Thank you. Hey, I am enjoying, and we'll talk much more about the Dodgers later today, I am enjoying my first carton of eggnog. This morning. Broke it open. Feels good, guys.
Ugh.
What? Now you guys don't like eggnog either?
I hate eggnog.
How? What? Get off my phone.
She's not on a phone.
How do you hate eggnog? What is actually literally wrong with you?
A, eggnog. B, Dave Attell does the best joke about eggnog.
Oh, no.
Go back and listen to it, kids. Just Google Dave Attell eggnog.
Is it something that you can say on the air?
No, it's the sign I just held up to you.
Okay,
yes, no.
It's very funny and you should look it up.
Yes.
It changes your entire interpretation of the drink?
It should.
It should, because it comes from elves.
I'm not positive that it does yours, Bean, but it should change
you. Might. Open
Does
up another card.
Might like it, yeah.
Does it involve the word viscous?
No.
Oh, I see what it is.
No.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right?
Yeah. But that's not. The elves aren't even real, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
All right.
Who makes eggnog then, man?
How about you, Kevin? Eggnog, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Delicious.
I don't look.
Outstanding.
It is a 100% or a 0%
guy. Because it's one of the. I mean, I'm
it's
not
either the greatest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Or it's the devil's pee, according to Bean.
This is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. Don't you put liquor in it, though?
If you put liquor in it, see, that's what
it's
I was going to
say.
Is my answer is if you put liquor in it, and then after a couple of drinks, then it's fine.
Okay.
No, it's delicious.
I don't hate it.
It's delicious right out of the carton.
It's a 45 out of 100.
Oh, dear God.
Oh.
It's not bad.
Okay.
55, maybe. Whatever.
I got to get off this show.
Because we don't like eggnog?
Yes. Because that's a fun. That's a fundamental.
Well,
thing.
Wait a minute. Are we?
Okay.
It's a fundamental thing.
Defect is the word I was looking for. Fundamental defect.
Are you talking about liquor or no liquor?
No, I'm talking about eggnog. Eggnog
right.
is perfect with? On its own.
See, that's
it doesn't. You don't have to add anything to eggnog.
You have
great
to add liquor.
How dare you?
Yeah, you have to.
You
add
get off my phone too. All right. Well, you're wrong and you're bad and stop it.
All right.
Okay.
You might remember, maybe you heard about this story. Where is he? Is he in Michigan? I want to say he's in Michigan, maybe. Maybe I should have read this before I brought it up.
Tough for us to know at this point from the details given.
In the Redford Township, this guy made the news, and we hadn't hit it yet, so I did want to talk about it. Michael Zadel is his name. He was wanted by the Redford Township Police Department. It doesn't say, because there's no such thing as journalism in America anymore, it doesn't say what he was wanted for, just that he had outstanding warrants.
Okay.
He also has been trolling the Redford Police Department's Facebook page for weeks now, commenting on posts, telling them that they suck, telling them that he was wanted and they'd never catch him. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what you do, why you do that. It seems like, unless you're some sort of computer expert, you're giving them some breadcrumbs on how to find you.
Even if you're a computer expert, you don't do that.
You don't taunt, right? And then he really raised the stakes. He posted on Facebook a message challenging the police department to get more than 1,000 shares on his post. He said, if your next post gets 1,000 shares, I will turn myself in along with a dozen donuts.
What's with this guy?
What's with this guy? What's the point of that? And that's a promise, he says. And I'll pick up every piece of litter around all your public schools. Let's see if you can get those shares. So he's mocking them. He's taunting them. The police department posts, challenge accepted. We have accepted the challenge, as you can see below. If we can get this post shared 1,000 times, he will turn himself in on his existing warrants, clean up the blight on public school property, and bring us a dozen donuts. Donuts! He promised us donuts. You know how much we love donuts.
Oh. That's the police actually being funny.
I love it.
I love
yes.
that.
Help us win this challenge and clean up blight in Redford. At the same time, it's as easy as sharing this post. And the post got over 4,000 shares. And true to his word, Mr. Zadel voluntarily yesterday walked into the Redford police station bringing donuts and bagels.
He added bagels.
Nice.
He added bagels too, because maybe not, you know, maybe some people are watching their sugar. I'm not right. sure.
Did he Facebook Live this?
It doesn't say that he did. He should have, though.
Right?
The whole thing played out on Facebook. So we'll see what happens to him next. And I don't know if his suggestion of picking up litter around the schools was what he was hoping would be the result of his, if there's community service involved. Again, I don't have the details on what his warrants are for, what they wanted him for. But maybe that was his suggestion on how he would pay his debt to society. But what do you, Allie, great question. What is going on in his head where this is the way to go? Because he didn't need to go through any of this to turn himself in.
Mm-mm.
Does he just like the attention? Did he want to get on the news?
All of that, yeah.
He probably just drank some eggnog.
Oh, he was high on the eggnog.
Wow, yeah. I got to do something. This is terrible.
Gotta get away from this eggnog.
I got to go to the police. Keep me safe from eggnog, because it sucks. No?
I'm enjoying this one-man show.
Yeah, we need to keep going.
Did Bean disconnect?
I'm not positive.
I'm here.
Still there.
All right. Anything I like, Kevin has to hate.
No, that's not true. I said it was a 45 or a 50 out of 100.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounded like
that's
it.
Okay.
In your most recent description about a man wanting to go to jail.
Oh, come on. Pouting is not a good look on you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why would you ask something that dumb, huh? That's a dumb question.
Are we going to talk to 96-year-old Barney Smith?
I hope so.
Is that going to happen?
I hope it does.
He has a toilet seat art museum.
I know we said we'd call him yesterday, but he got bumped. But hopefully today, yeah, we'll get Mr. Smith.
I'm suggesting he's 96. Maybe we don't keep bumping him.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
No.
Hey, can we talk to you next year, Barney?
And B wants to buy it, apparently. So
that's
no,
nice.
It's going to be his new business. That's pretty cool.
That'll raise his spirits.
Right.
I want to be friends
cool.
with Barney. I'm not at all interested in
he
his
He didn't
art
say
piece.
He wanted friends, did he?
Well, mm-hmm. let's see.
Not up for auction.
Let's see how it goes in the interview.
We want to believe, and if you saw an alien, we're going to want to talk to you today.
I'm worried about this.
You don't think we'll get any calls?
Well, I don't think so. We won't get
we
many.
We may not get a
sure.
lot, but we yeah. only need a couple.
Because mm-hmm. a lot of people have seen UFOs because by their very definition, they are unidentified. Many of us have seen things in the sky. We don't know what they were. That's
right.
different than seeing aliens.
I heard a guy once talking about unidentified flying objects.
I don't know what you're talking about. Also
sure?
on the show today,
because
he
was, I forget exactly.
Also today we have.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, and the terrorists you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was a moment with Kevin.
We'll try to keep that guy out of the conversation.
All we need is that guy.
He's barely on speaking terms of the English language. I don't think I've heard him complete a sentence in 2 years that had a subject, an object, and a verb.
It's very possible. Matt Money Smith talks Dodgers on the program today.
By the way, Chicago's Matt Money Smith, let's remember.
Oh.
Is he still a Cubs fan?
No, he's not. He's
Has he turned on him, didn't he?
He has turned on them. Yeah. Unless he's a sleeper cell, man. I don't know. He could just be faking us all out.
Maybe we need to find that out early.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of sports, later on in the show, we have Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. And we have Mr. Bad Example, which are some supreme examples of being giving some really bad examples.
I love it.
He tries his best to clarify things with examples, and his examples are just terrible. And it makes us all laugh. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. Lanosi's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Quick reminder, make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member. Go to krock.com, sign up so you get the password to buy the tickets when they go on sale tomorrow at noon for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 shows. They are fast approaching. I mean, they'll be here in like 2 months,
right?
Guys.
By fast 19th, approaching, you mean pretty slowly.
I mean, the holidays are just zipping along here. But you can't buy tickets without the password, and it will sell out in seconds. Hey. So make sure you do. You all right, Ralph?
I was just sneezed.
Have some eggnog.
I was trying to find the not sneeze button, and I couldn't find it in time, so apologize.
All right, no problem. Ralph is here with our first look at the show. This being on a Thursday. What's going on?
Thanks, Allie. Mm-hmm. Allie gave me a tissue. I don't need it. It's an allergy thing. These allergies lately have just been killing me.
Been killing everybody, yeah.
Yeah. Eggnog, by the way, 100%.
Love it.
Up with eggnog.
Really?
Big ups.
Huh.
But.
Not a fan.
I find it has its time and its place. And I wouldn't start drinking eggnog in October.
So it's like Christmas music for you.
Exactly.
Okay.
I like it a little. I like it a lot, but I like it a little.
You like it a lot, but a little amount of time.
Exactly.
A little window.
Just a little. It's appropriate around the holidays. Have some eggnog. It's very festive, and I enjoy it, but it's not It's not a regular go-to beverage.
I get that. I mean, I wouldn't year-round eggnog. I do like it to be
talking
somewhat
about today,
special.
Though.
It's early, though. I'm just saying.
It's the 19th of October.
This is pretty early for eggnoggin.
I can't resist when I see the first carton show up in the supermarket. I get so excited. It's like when you first see candy corn, and I know you guys aren't on board with the candy corn, but it's the same thing. It's like, oh, it's that time of year.
You throw up?
I can't wait.
But you're the guy that puts the candy corn in the secret candy corn vault and then cracks it out in May and starts celebrating how cool you are because you have candy corn in May.
Right. So the candy corn.
So how do I know you're not drinking eggnog in June? How do I know?
Good point.
You just have to trust me on this.
Trust but verify, right? That's what Ronald Reagan always said. And by the way, don't drink it out of a carton. Don't get the carton stuff. Get the bottle stuff. Brugere, is that the name of the
That's the one, yeah.
The,
Bean carton bottle.
I almost said brewery, but it's the creamery. It's the milkery. It's
the
dairy.
Eggnoggery.
The dairy, if you will. No, Brugere makes chocolate milk and regular milk, and they make the best eggnog in the Southern California area. You can get it a glass bottle.
Bean, which way you go?
It often has Yulehauser's face on it.
Oh,
that makes it even better.
It's amazing.
I only had carton available.
See, that's a poor man's eggnog, apparently.
I was in a supermarket. I wasn't at a fancy dairy.
It's faux nog. That's what I call it. All right, enough nog talk.
Epic fail.
Let's give away something. How about Suburbicon?
Yeah!
The movie looks awesome. Directed by George Clooney. Is there anything the man can't do?
No.
Just be friends with you. That seems to be the only thing he can't do.
He refuses. I spent so much money on that property in Lake Como, too. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac star in the story of a seemingly peaceful, idyllic suburban community. But, of course, underneath that tranquil surface lies a disturbing, violent, dark reality.
Love it.
Like to see it early. We're having a K-Rock advance screening of Suburbicon at the Landmark Theater October 24th. Movie is not in theaters until the 27th, so you will be able to lord this over your friends for 3 whole days after you see Suburbicon. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through. Get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Suburbicon. I used up almost all my showbiz time with Nog Talk, so I'm just
worth it.
Give you a little taste of something we'll be talking more about in the next hour. Billy Joel, legendary singer, songwriter, American treasure, Billy Joel, is going to be a dad again.
Congratulations, Allie.
I wish.
At the age of 68.
Now, is that preventable?
No, sadly. It isn't. It turns out with older men, they're so virile, they just blast right through any sort of contraception you use.
It's, I didn't realize that.
It's strange. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
You think at 68, no, perhaps he'd be getting weaker.
No, it's apparently the speed limit of your fellas increases with age.
Realize that. Yeah, so wow.
Ralph, I hate to ask, but how old is the lucky mom-to-be?
Well, he's been with his wife, Alexis Roderick, for some time now. I believe she's in her, I think, late 30s, I want to say.
So at least.
I know
so
she's around the age of his daughter, Alexa Ray, that he had with Christie Brinkley. And Alexa Ray is 31.
Okay.
So they're contemporaries.
So she's approaching half his age.
Yes.
Okay.
But at least the kid will have a mom during his or her teenage years.
Yes. Apparently Billy Joel doesn't care if his kids have a father or not. He already has a 2-year-old with Alexis. This is their second child.
Oh, my God.
Got a 2-year-old named Della Rose. And now they're going to have another baby. So congratulations.
Are there any circumstances under which it's okay? In your guys' opinion, to be 68 years old and have a baby?
I don't think so. I don't. I just feel like you need to be there for your kids when they're teenagers, and if you're not, you're a bad dad.
But she'll have remarried by then.
They'll have a stepdad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee that anybody's going to be around when your kids are in their teenage years.
Right. But if you're 68.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's got the financial wherewithal to provide for mother and child forever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's going to leave them in a lurch in a dozen years or so when he finally punches out. So, I mean, if they've got to know it, right, going into their situation.
They have
think
to,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as you are not putting a financial burden on a mother once you leave, I guess it's okay.
She's like, you know what? Not going to need you. All good. Let's just do your part now, and we'll be fine.
Look, if I learned anything from fatherhood, it's that moms do most of the work
not
anyway.
Not going to need
you. So, really, it's just, you're kind of window dressing at a certain point. So.
Do we know that Billy Joel is happy about this news, or did he also just announce a 2-year world tour?
No, apparently he's going to stay at home, and he's going to do Madison Square Garden ad nauseum until they finally stop selling tickets.
That's still crazy, by the way. He doesn't get enough credit for selling out Madison Square Garden every month.
It's the best gig in the world, too.
It's amazing.
He takes a helicopter from his house. It lands in his backyard. He hops in a helicopter. They fly him to Madison Square Garden. He pops out. He does his show. He gets back in the helicopter, and he's home before Colbert is on.
And only once a month.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's got to make $1 million that night, right?
He's got to.
Yeah.
He's got to be in the neighborhood. It's pretty sweet.
Right?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, 72 years old today. Evander Holyfield, the real deal. He's 55. John Favreau is 51. Trey Parker, South Park co-creator. Trey Parker's 48. Is it Matt Parker or Trey Parker or May?
Can I give you a fun fact about our guest, J.K. Simmons, before we...
Wrong one.
Not at all what Ralph was looking for.
Wow. That's nothing to do with Trey Parker whatsoever.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt
and Trey, thank you.
This is like Trat and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
All right, from now on, May Parker, 48 years old today. I'm
Bean,
Ralph
fix your goddamn life.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat.
Hey, every day this week here on the show, we are giving you tickets to the Los Angeles Clippers home opener. It's Saturday at Staples Center against the Phoenix Suns, and we thought we'd make it easy for you today. You don't even have to know anything about the Clippers. Just love the Clippers and listen for the voice of the Clippers, Ralph Lawler. He will be making an announcement on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Is it okay to maybe play it here, tell people what they're listening for, right?
Yeah, we'll play it this time, but this time is not for the contest.
Right.
Hi, this is Ralph Lawler of the Clippers. Bingo! You're with Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
All right, so that doesn't count.
I'm calling!
But that doesn't count, but the next time we play it.
Yes.
Cheaters.
Then it counts.
All you have to do is be caller 20 when you hear the great Ralph Lawler here on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock, and you win some tickets to see the Clips versus the Suns at Staples Center this Saturday and qualify for an ultimate fan experience. We'll tell you about that when you win it coming up at any time this morning on K-Rock.
Late in the show yesterday, Ralph brought us news of the 86th annual Hollywood Christmas Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And
86 years, by the way.
Yeah. And our question to you was why and who?
And I told you Dr. Oz. That's why.
Now, he is the Grand Marshal.
He is the Grand Marshal.
Because when you think Christmas, you think Dr.
Oz. Dr. Oz.
Okay. All right.
Who do you think
cures the elves of all their syphilis. Dr. Oz.
We got a little sad yesterday, Ralph, thinking about the Hollywood Christmas Parade, because it was for many people. Allie, you're a perfect example of a Los Angelino who grew up looking forward to and loving this parade, right? It was a big deal around your house.
It was a huge deal in my house, and we would get so excited for it, and we'd start watching, then ultimately my brother and I would fall asleep because it was too late for us, but we would beg our mom and dad to wake us up when Santa came down the lane. That was the biggest deal. So they'd wake us up, and then we'd see Santa in his sleigh, and just kicked off the holiday season.
It used to be a big deal for everybody. It started in the 20s, and all the biggest stars in Hollywood would come out for this thing.
Oh, is that right? So there was a time when it was...
You know, Dr. Oz is the Grand Marshal this year. Let me give you some previous Grand Marshals.
Okay.
Bob Hope was the Grand Marshal of the parade.
Okay, yeah. That's a name.
Ron Howard.
Wow. All right.
Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner were
huge stars, both
Grand Marshals. William Shatner, Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
Charlton Heston, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my.
I mean, these are stars.
But from 40, 50 years ago.
But these are, I'm talking about parades that were 40, 50 years ago.
Right.
So it's like whatever hot star in the world at the moment was the Grand Marshal.
When did it break from that tradition?
That's what we're trying to nail down. I don't know what happened when things went horribly, horribly south, when Eric Estrada became part of it every year.
We first got interested in it because the production of it was worse than our show. We were fascinated by the fact that no person on the parade route could hear any other person, and the microphones didn't work, and the headsets didn't work, and nothing worked, and they would broadcast it live, and we just loved it.
Yeah, it was the best.
Yeah, because it was such terrible TV, but you're right. Ralph, if the tradition had continued, and I can't figure out what changed that made them unable to get stars, but right now we should be talking about Hugh Jackman or Jennifer Lawrence
or
somebody.
Or The Rock or somebody like that.
That would be the equivalent today of the kind of stars you're talking about.
But we do get your hosts, Eric Estrada.
Okay.
Laura McKenzie.
Nope.
Dean Cain and Montel Williams.
Now, we found out yesterday that Laura McKenzie died in 1902.
No, that was Elizabeth Stanton.
Oh, that was a
co-host.
Okay.
And Garrett Clayton.
I see.
Who was, of course, part of the Clayton gang that was killed in the O.K. Corral fight with Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp and his brother.
We were fascinated how this is the biggest parade in Hollywood. It says that this is the largest Christmas celebration in America.
Huh.
That's how they bill themselves.
Wow.
And we don't know any of the people, and we pay pretty close attention to TV and what's going on.
Yeah, well, that's what broke us yesterday, was hearing that Elizabeth Stanton and Garrett Clayton were involved as special co-hosts. Because between all of us, we should have at least heard the names. Even if we didn't have a full, you know, we couldn't recognize their face, we should have at least heard the name somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
Let me ask you this. It has been rumored that Scientology is somehow involved in this parade.
What?
Do we know anything
about
that?
I think they usually have a float.
A lot of the businesses in the Hollywood area, the Chamber of Commerce puts it on, so a lot of the local businesses have
I don't
a
know
float.
That they're more involved than that, but they do always have a float.
Yeah. Usually they have one of their celebrities on board. I think Leah Remini actually was on board 1 year waving to the crowd.
Where did you
hear this? That it was Scientology, Bean?
Casey with her finger on the button, girl.
Oh, thanks for all your help, Casey.
So, the reason I bring that up is because I was wondering if maybe that's why some of the bigger stars stay away from it, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Because they don't have...
Then why isn't Tom Cruise the Grand Marshal every year?
Yes, great question.
They don't have any stars, is what's bizarre about this.
They do?
I mean, name one.
They have the Tom family.
What, who's that?
I don't know. There's like some kids. Like there's like three brothers and sisters who do a lot of guest stars on Disney shows and stuff. It seems like every year I'm flipping around, they go, and once again, it's the Tom family's here. Hi, Tom.
And that's why we're fascinated.
They're all waving. They're wearing scarves, and it's 80. That's my favorite part is everybody dresses up like they are on the way to the North Pole, and invariably ends up being one of the hottest days of this ridiculous season we call fall here in Los Angeles. And so eventually. Actually, he's just profusely sweating, wearing a thick wool scarf around their neck and a parka.
Now, we've become disillusioned because they stopped carrying it live, and now they edit out all of those mistakes.
Yeah.
And so it's just 2 hours of pablum. It just is dull.
Yeah, it was so much more fun when they couldn't hear each other.
Right.
And there was mistakes going on.
Oh, that's the best.
Hey, what's that car you're driving there? No, I'm not striving for anything. I'm very happy to be here this year.
Lane has an answer to your question.
Oh, Lane.
Oh, good.
Hey, Lane.
Hey. So you guys are wondering why the Hollywood Christmas Parade sucks now. In the late 90s or early aughts, I don't remember the date, but a Scientologist bought the rights to it. You guys didn't know this? This is like in...
I didn't. So you mean Scientology, the religion, the cult, I mean, right. is behind it?
They bought the rights to the parade?
And everyone knows they're roundly incompetent at everything they do. So, yes, that's pretty much where it dropped off the cliff.
Now, what do you mean they bought the rights to the parade? I don't understand how you buy rights to a parade.
It's an ownership thing. It's just like a nonprofit that they control now.
Yeah, they are a nonprofit with billions in the bank.
But what about, to Ralph's question, why they don't have high-profile Scientologists, more of them involved in the parade?
And if you don't know them, if you're not friendly with a Scientologist, if you're not on their page, you don't have to be a Scientologist. You have to be friendly with them. You don't get in.
Okay. But they have high-profile celebrities that are Scientologists that are never in it.
Dr. Oz, high-profile. Let me tease that out.
Take it easy.
So this was in like the Business Report. This is in the Hollywood Reporter.
I did not know that.
Early on.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So, all right. Thank you, Lane. Appreciate the call. So he's saying there may be celebrities that are not.
I don't know. The Tom family are all Scientologists. Makes sense. They're in it every year.
Imagine their family being in it for like 60 years and all of a sudden they're out because of Scientology.
Well, this parade's not as much fun now as I thought it was.
Why isn't the Elfmans? Why aren't they always there in the front waving? Where are all the high-profile celebrities? Get to work, Scientology. Get out your...
I thought I read it wrong, but something weird happened last night. The Dodgers lost a game in the postseason?
What?
That never happens. And it was a weird game, too. All five runs in the game came off solo home runs. Check it out.
Good to see the Cubs catcher back in there tonight. He left yesterday's game, and he's about to leave the yard here. Contreras with a long home run. 1-0 Cubs. It's out in the air to left. He's watching it. It's got some hook on it. It is up, and it is gone. Javi Baez with a solo shot. 2-0 Chicago. The year's selection, and he hammers one right field. That is up, and that ball is up and gone. Cody Bellinger with a strike, and it's 2-1 Cubs. Baez in the air to left field, got some carry. Ethier's looking up, and this one is gone. Another home run for Javier Baez. 3-1 Chicago.
Lead.
Turner sends this one way back to left. He's going to watch this one fly. A long home run by Justin Turner. And the Dodgers are within a run.
Do you think pitchers ever get tired of hearing, "Oh, long, that one's really going. That one's flying. Look at how long that is."
I'm sure they don't love it. Well, the champagne is on ice, but the Dodgers get a chance to close it out today with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Let's go to our friend Matt Money Smith from the Dodgers home station, AM 570 KLAC. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. I love how Mr. Plachke put it in the LA Times this morning where he said it's a hiccup, not a heartache. This is nothing to worry about, right, Matt?
No. I mean, you know, they faced a Cy Young winner last night, a team that is the defending World Series champion on their own field. I mean, to think that you can just sweep right through it, and a lot of people did just because of how dominant the Dodgers have been, and I mean, they almost pulled it off last night.
Yeah, I think people wouldn't have been surprised had they swept.
No, I don't think they would either. Yeah. But I think they lose sight of what they're, you know, what the environment is and who they're playing. You know, Arrieta threw a no hitter against the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium two years ago. So it's not like it's some schlub that was sent to the mound to pitch against them. And the guy's, you know, undefeated in closeout games in the playoffs. You know, he's a really good pitcher and a gamer, and he, you know, like tends, you know, is apt to happen in the playoffs, shut down, you know, a heck of an offense. And I think Bill is dead on. It is a hiccup. I mean, they are not going to lose four games in a row. It's never happened in the history of the National League in a seven-game series. And I do not suspect this is a team, you know, that won 104 games that's going to be the first one to see it happen.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to ask you about one kind of controversial call by the umpires last night, Matt, and that is when we're talking about Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs, getting ejected from the game, and I was really confused by that because you can't argue balls and strikes anyway. So what was the whole point of that?
So this is, it truly is probably the most ridiculous, insane, nonsensical call I've ever seen in watching baseball.
Wow, that's saying
all
something.
My years. So Curtis Granderson strikes out, and he contends that he tipped the ball, and it should not have been strike three. You know, that he made a tiny bit of contact with the ball.
So it's a foul ball, right?
So it's a foul ball. The umpire says, I didn't hear anything. You're out. And that's the home plate umpire that is 2 feet away from where that ball was supposedly tipped.
Right.
So they call him out. He makes his way to the dugout. And all of a sudden, the third base umpire comes in and says, no, it was a foul tip.
And this is a guy who's 90 feet away.
90 feet away.
Can the third base umpire overrule the ump?
Yes. The third base ump overruled the home plate ump. And Granderson got another pitch. And, you know, the baseball gods decided that what's just is just. And he struck out on that very next pitch. But, yeah, it was weird. It does not make any sense. And, you know, when you appeal balls and strikes, you appeal to one of the bases. If it's a left-hand batter, you appeal to third. So that is the place of appeal, which is why he had the power to override.
Wow.
But in that case, as opposed to it being a full swing versus a check swing, it does not make sense that that guy, especially because he was wrong, he looked so foolish today,
yeah.
That's protocol in Major League Baseball.
And Joe Maddon got thrown out for nothing because, as you mentioned, 10 seconds later, they just threw another strike.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it's, and granted, you know, we're in Dodger country, and so they may not agree, but he should have been thrown out. I mean, I would have argued that to the death. It makes zero sense. Just to make a point, I think, to Major League Baseball that, hey, from now on, that can't happen.
Right.
You know, I'm willing to get thrown out, so in the offseason, you can make the adjustment in the rule book.
Oh, that's interesting.
Never happen again.
Matt, I want to run a theory by you. I brought this up on the air earlier in this week. I think the Cubs fans do not tolerate losing anymore. They were lovable losers for so long, but now that they have won a World Series, I can't believe how much booing there is during the games at Wrigley Field. I feel like they just got no time or tolerance for their team not winning anymore.
They're intolerable. They're horrible, horrible people. Yeah, it's the exact same thing that happened to the Red Sox. I mean, think about how much, I mean, we call them massholes now because they won a couple World Series. And before, we liked the Red Sox fans.
They've been called massholes for hundreds of years. Let's not act like all of a sudden it's a new thing and you named it. All right? Massholes forever.
Listen here, Allie. Out on the West Coast, we used to sympathize with you. We used to side with the Red Sox fans when the Yankees rolled into Fenway.
Yeah.
No more!
No, they are insufferable. I'm the first one to tell you, they are some insufferable a-holes.
Yes, and that's what the Cubs fans have turned into.
Yeah.
The city of Broad.
In one season!
In one single, and you know what? And this is what sweet justice is, my friends. The fact that the Dodgers opened their season against the Cubs, the regular season, you know, on a national stage, the freaking Cubs on the first night do their ring ceremony, right?
Right.
The Dodgers are sitting in their clubhouse for 45 minutes waiting for that game to start past its official start time.
Right.
And then the very next night, they do this crazy pennant flag symbolism, old men in the outfield, Ryan
rubbing it in, right?
For another 45 minutes. So the fact that the Dodgers will clinch this tonight at Wrigley Field and send the defending world champs home, packing, whatever, their fans can boo.
Sweet
that
justice.
Sweet justice.
That'll feel good.
For what
all
they
right.
did to these Dodgers at the start of the season.
I want to say one more thing, Matt, before we run out of time and say goodbye, and that is I have loved hearing Charlie Steiner during the playoffs, doing the play-by-play for the Dodgers. He's great.
Yeah, it's been a great run. I mean, look, and as somebody, not that I'm trying to compare myself to Charlie, but as somebody that does play-by-play, You are, you know, a product of the games that you're given as well. And, man, these games have been great.
Yeah.
You know, a walk-off from Justin Turner, like you said last night, all the home runs and the drama in the top of the ninth to try to get a lead. Yeah, he is great. But the fact that the games have been great has also been a, you know, that's a byproduct of just how intriguing and intense and drama-filled all of these games have been.
Well, it's been a long 29 years, so later today, the Dodgers could be going back to the World Series for the first time since 1980. Don't forget, you can hear the games on AM 570 and the Matt and Petros and Money radio show. What time are you going on today, Matt? Do you know?
Today, well, it's a short show, 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
You know, first pitch is at 5 p.m. So,
and all right.
I think what the World Series schedule is going to be. So, folks, start planning your work schedule accordingly. Get the hell out of the office early.
Can't wait. Thanks, Matt. Love you.
Hey,
still. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Don't forget, be caller 20 when you hear the great Ralph Lawler's voice on K-Rock. And you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Clippers home opener versus the Suns at Staples Center on Saturday. It could play at any time. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning.
By the way, Mr. Bad Example is next.
Oh, yeah. Let's just Can I give up my time here? No. Can we just do it now?
No, no. You got time.
We got time for both.
We got time for both.
It's like Christmas morning. You're making me just stay in bed a little bit longer.
You're going to enjoy it.
Until the coffee's already brewed. And the coffee cake is out on the table.
I was sitting by myself editing it last night, just laughing out loud.
Anna Faris and Chris Pratt are just, they're just the best people. They're so much better than us.
Even in divorce, they're adorable.
Yes. They are truly staying best friends.
Now, everyone says that when they make their divorce announcement, right?
Yes, but in this case, it happens to be true. Anna told People magazine that they'll always have each other and be incredible friends. And she said, Chris just told her recently how he is still so proud of me. And we still make one another laugh, she said, about their relationship.
So this is actually genuine.
Yeah.
How about that?
Chris, meanwhile, was recently seen on stage with Chris Stapleton at Nashville's Bridgestone Arena. Anyone? Chris Stapleton?
Yeah. Yes. Are you kidding?
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
I very successful. Multi-Grammy Award winner.
It's country.
Country,
Kevin. That's why.
Start with country, B.
Right. Yeah, start with that.
But
so
he's an artist.
Understand
really...
why no one understands that or cares.
He's more Americana. Really he's more Americana. He's an
You're
artist.
Right. He's not a country because his smash hit song is called Tennessee Whiskey. You're right. That's a hip-hop song.
You would like him, Ralph.
I didn't say it was hip-hop.
You would like him, Ralph.
I would not like him.
You would.
I can tell you with all sincerity.
That's the song he did on the Grammys a couple years ago with Justin Timberlake that just blew the roof off the place.
I'm not caring.
Okay.
So Chris Pratt got on stage with him in Nashville to sing Tennessee Whiskey. Not country, though. Keep in mind.
Whatever.
And apparently even wore a jean jacket emblazoned with the guy's face for the occasion. That's funny.
That's funny.
That's funny, right?
Yeah, he's funny.
Meanwhile, Anna has a new boyfriend.
All right.
I couldn't be happier, because I know this guy, and he's just one of the best people.
Count Smokula?
No, not Count Smokula. They were just friends.
Perfect couple.
That was a rumor. They were seen together, but they were just friends. Now, Anna Faris is currently dating cinematographer Michael Barrett, who is a terrifically funny, talented guy. He worked with Anna on an upcoming movie they did together called Overboard. Apparently, that's where they met. And they seem to be very much into each other. So congratulations to that lovely couple. Michael was the cinematographer on Ted and on A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, okay.
That's how I got to know him. And he's a terrific guy. So I hope they're very happy. A
lot of pressure to be the guy who's dating Anna Faris after she's married to Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I suppose. But
a lot to live up to is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. But he's so...
But you don't want to live up to it exactly because she divorced him.
Right. If he's that great, why are they so apart? I guess would be the question.
Excellent point.
Yeah. And Bruce Springsteen, it seems like he's digging this whole Broadway thing. This whole being on Broadway. He's having a good time playing 5 shows a week at the Walter Care Theater. So much so, it looks like they're going to extend again.
Really?
It was supposed to be just 10 weeks. Sorry, 8 weeks initially. Then they added 10 more weeks. And now, rumor has it, Bruce is thinking of going through June of 2018 to extend his stay in that
theater. I am very surprised by this news, Ralph.
Why?
Because Springsteen is a guy who loves to change up his sets every night that he's on tour. He never plays the same set twice.
Doesn't he do that on this?
No, completely locked in.
Oh.
Exactly the same, virtually the same every night. At least that's what he says his plan is he's got it the way he wants it, and this is how it's going to be every night.
Why?
And I would think that that would be tough for him, but I guess, you know, people are in plays and can do the same role, same lines every night for years if they want.
Why?
I think this is a change of pace for him enough so that he wants to fully explore this experience. He's been doing concerts and arenas and ballparks forever. I think this is probably something he's really getting a kick out of because it's going back to his roots. It's him and a guitar and a piano. He'll probably never get a chance to do this kind of thing again.
I want to see it so bad.
No, you can't.
I know.
Nor will you.
Never.
He would be in New York and not go.
Right. He'd be outside the theater.
Yeah.
And the guy'd go, psst, I got a ticket for free. You want it?
I'm going to go to bed.
It's after 8.
It's 8:01.
The biggest colleague said, I got some eggnog.
I would stay up late for the ball.
You wouldn't. Warming in the sink.
You would want to, but you wouldn't.
A sink full of eggnog that I'm going to dip a fork into.
I've seen Bruce Springsteen over 25 times.
Okay, so I think
but that's when you were younger and used to do things.
All 20 years
mostly
ago,
younger.
Before you got hermetically sealed,
right.
And they just put you in that case.
I haven't been in a while, but I'm telling you I would see this if I could.
Right.
No, you wouldn't.
You would want to. I'm giving you credit for wanting to.
You go, oh.
But you wouldn't.
I'm so pre-sad that I'm going to miss that because I'm not going to go.
Exactly.
That's what you'd say. And speaking of on stage, Bryan Cranston needs your help.
How does he need our help?
Well, he's going to be on stage in London in a new stage version of the classic 1976 movie Network.
Oh, that
sounds
good.
He's starring as newscaster Howard Beale. It's the role that won Peter Finch his Oscar. And it's a terrific film, terrific play that's based on a Paddy Chayefsky screenplay. And apparently they're going to use the classic line from that movie, which, of
course,
Kevin is.
What are you going to do, spoon me to death?
No, that's not it. No. Everyone knows. This character's classic line, Kevin, is...
First place, you get $1 million. Second place, you get fired.
Huh.
I don't know.
I'm
mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's right, Kevin. That's
right.
The classic line.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So he's asking everyone to record themselves saying that, and they're going to play it on stage because there's a moment in the story where Howard Beale, as a newscaster, says that, and he encourages people to open their windows wherever they are and to scream it out loud.
Interesting.
And they can't do it in the stage. In the movie, they would cut to different people yelling out of their windows and in their homes and yelling at their TV sets, but you can't do that on stage, so they're going to project it on a screen behind him.
So you can be on Broadway.
Production. Well, it's the West End. It's London, but...
Wherever.
Yes. So you could, if they like your video, you'll be projected on stage during the show. You'll share the stage with...
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So
I don't know about you, but I'm as mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Wrong line.
Yeah. You're not going to be used. So.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Bogey. Remember Bogey?
Sure.
Mike Bukowski or whatever his name was, right? So just film yourself and then hashtag your video NT for National Theater. That's who's doing the production. Hashtag NT mad as hell. And put it on Twitter or Instagram. And if they like it, they'll use it.
That's cool. I want to see that, too, by the way. Write me down for that. I want tickets to see that, too.
Yeah, okay. Here's Bryan Cranston in London, Springsteen on Broadway.
We're not keeping track of the things you want. We're keeping track of the things that you do.
Yes.
And it's a much smaller list.
Except, and then I'm going to go to the moon after those two.
Right, except when the thing you do comes to giving bad examples. Then it's a lengthy list.
Which is very enjoyable.
Next, so stick around. Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, 72 years old today. Evander Holyfield's 55. Jon Favreau is 51 years old. Trey Parker turns 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to bring you up to speed with the very latest Kevin and Bean limited edition T-shirt in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Make sure you stick around to hear about that. Jim Rome on the program today, and we're going to need your calls in the 8 o'clock hour if you've seen an alien. All right? If you've seen an alien.
This will be a good one.
We need you next hour. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean is not great at giving examples.
What?
And that's why we've created...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Look, he tries to give examples so that he can clarify things.
I do try.
Right.
You know, you guys know what it's like. We all have the same job. We're working without a net here.
Right.
It's live, and you just reach into the deepest recesses of your brain to look for something that's going to help.
Well, don't go so deep. Stay more to the surface. You remember the thing that started this one? He was talking about when you break something expensive. It's like, you know, when you drop your set of crystal down an elevator shaft?
Yes.
Does that ever happen to anyone?
And we all stopped and thought, that has never happened and will never happen in life.
Is that an example?
It's a terrible example.
That was
so
not
we
a
started
good example.
Keeping Mr. Bad Example files, and I give to you the first where Bean is talking about me being so busy.
He's a busy man, Ralph. He's got a lot of plates in the air.
Right. Like I have a lot of plates in the air.
Do you have plates in the air?
Never.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
You do. When you're spinning plates, you have plates in the air.
You have balls in the air.
Oh, maybe you have balls. it could be balls.
It is balls. It's a juggling reference. You spin a lot of plates.
But aren't they in the air?
No, they're on poles.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
At least we broke that one down and figured out where it went wrong.
At least you're defending your bad example to the death.
Now, Allie is filling in for Ralph and doing showbiz, and she's talking about a picture of Jay-Z and Beyonce's baby. And Bean's talking about what people must be trying to do to get a picture of that baby, and we're talking to Harvey Levin.
Oh, it's going to be released by the family. They're going to release this.
Just because they know they might as well?
I don't even know that people are going to try.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I just want to remind you that they're in a hospital. The story is still that they're in a hospital mm-hmm. with the baby.
Right. I would think that you would be sending somebody in there with a, in a food cart or something like that trying to get this photo.
Come on.
One of those food carts in
a
hospital.
In a food cart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how they sell churros right there in Cedars?
What do you mean a food cart?
Right?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
A food cart in the hospital.
They always have those hot dog vendors, you know, roaming the halls of the intensive care unit. You know how it is. The fresh fruit guys.
Some of these you haven't heard, Ralph. This is going to be good for you. Allie was talking about how hot her dentist was.
And is it inappropriate for you as a patient to be interested in dating your doctor or dentist?
I will sign away any HIPAA rules, laws, anything, really.
Because I'm wondering if it's a different kind of relationship than, oh, the air conditioning repair man is hot. I think I'd like to date him. I mean, I don't see any conflict there, but for some reason in my mind.
Great example, though. Most air conditioning guys are super hot.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I'd like to suggest that the air conditioning man being super hot is purely porn. That has never happened except for in porn.
That's true.
All right, what would have been a better...
How often do you run across the air conditioner repair man? How often is your air conditioner breaking down? That's a common thing in your life.
And then you want to have a relationship with him.
What would have been a better example of another occupation that doesn't have the conflict of a doctor?
Look, we don't have to come up with the right ones. We're just pointing out that you come up with the wrong ones.
Mailman? Okay.
Mailman. Might have been better.
Sure. All right. Allie's doing showbiz again. She's talking about Judge Judy.
And you know that, hello, it's Judge Judy.
Yeah.
You're giving her whatever it says in that envelope.
She said in this deposition, she said, it's not a negotiation.
Yeah, no. I tell them what I want, and they're like, yep.
I'm just saying Judge Judy is more irreplaceable than a lot of people who host television shows.
Why?
It's the force of her, it's the force of her personality, Ronnie. That's why. If you fire Billy Bush, you bring in another guy with a haircut. You know what I mean? You fire Judge Judy, there's no replacement for her.
Yeah, put that in the file over there for...
Yeah.
Bad examples.
Bad examples. Really? You fire Billy Bush and get another guy with a haircut?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
What does that even mean?
I stand by that example. Billy Bush and people like him are a lot more replaceable than somebody like Judge
Judy. I
think
he means that he's generic looking and there are a thousand other generic looking TV
hosts. Who
can
do his job just as well.
I think that's what he means.
Don't we all get haircuts at some point?
Sure. That happens, yeah.
Okay. My point is you can't replace Judge
Judy. All right.
Judy.
Now the story we're talking about is looking at a dead man's junk. Do you remember this conversation?
I do.
A bongo song, wasn't it?
People in a hospital got fired because they brought people into the autopsy room to stare at a man's penis.
And Bean didn't understand why they were upset.
But what I'm saying is lifting the sheet and having a peek and being impressed and then, you know, heading out to Bennigan's for lunch or whatever, there's no damage there.
Why are they going to Bennigan's?
Who saw a Bennigan's in 10 years? You're on fire.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Does that chain even exist anymore?
I don't know. But I literally haven't heard the word in 10 years. And I think like the last three of those were on the same day. It was insane. Wow.
I can't imagine where that came from.
Bennigan's.
Yesterday we were talking. Was it yesterday we did sex injuries?
I think so.
Okay, so this is Bean talking about that story.
We have noticed a real increase in sex-related injuries. It used to be that injuries associated with sex used to account for a small percentage of the non-sporting cases we treated. But now, it's all the time. Many are too ashamed to admit how they hurt themselves, meaning doctors cannot treat them properly.
All right, here it comes.
Now, I'm curious about that, because if you roll an ankle, you know, in bed, how is that, how's the treatment?
Really? You roll an ankle?
I guess just an example.
That was just an example. It was awful.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How do you roll an ankle in
bed?
I mean,
that was your go-to. Your
ankle. All
the
sex injuries, that's the last part of you that you're going to get hurt.
It sounds to me like you guys are doing it wrong.
And finally, Bean talks about what happens after he dies, and then it just doesn't matter what people do with his body, and his example is incredible.
And I've had this conversation with my wife before, like, you know, when you start talking about funerals and stuff, you know, so many people have these elaborate plans of how they want to be buried, and to which I say... Just put me in the backyard. I mean, literally, or put me on a tree, or put me in a dumpster. It literally
I'd like
doesn't
to put you
matter.
In a tree.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work, but the payoff is good.
It doesn't.
There's Bean.
You know how many people get put in trees that are dead?
What kind of example?
You're just
What's
driving down
that?
The road and you see a dude in a tree and he's dead. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm famous for my examples. You know that.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Like, how's that a pole? How does he go, you know?
In a tree. Anywhere. In a tree? What? Nobody puts anything in a tree, let alone a dead body.
Has anyone ever put a dead body in a tree?
No one puts anything in trees.
Ever.
Ever. You get, sometimes you have to get something down from a tree, but you never put anything in one.
Especially a dead guy.
At least your own dead body.
Especially a dead 6'6" corpse.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
So we're only a couple of weeks away from daylight savings time, and that drives Bean crazy. He can't stand daylight savings time.
You're wrong on so many levels, first of all, Kevin.
It's a couple of weeks away. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
No. We're in daylight saving time now. It ends on November 5th. That's
but
the
then
return
we
to standard
have the savings
time.
Of that hour.
Right.
So we're
then it's daylight savings.
The savings of it.
Saving, not savings, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what the new Kevin and Bean limited edition t-shirt is all about. So if you love the English language, all right? If you're not Kevin, then plan on buying a t-shirt for 24 hours when it becomes available today at 10 a.m. Would you? KRock.com for all the details. The latest Kevin and Bean limited edition t-shirt.
Here's what I love about the shirt. Bean does fire off angry emails and letters to people.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I mean, literally the whole weekend.
Well, yeah. Because there's no excuse, especially if you're a goddamn newspaper, to not know the correct
term. It always ends with, you should know better.
Well,
and it's a picture of Bean smoking a pipe, which A, is awesome, and mm-hmm. B, he's sitting at a typewriter, which right. B, is brilliant. And I think that's our friend Paul Lee who designed that. So
yeah, Paul Lee does great work, but I don't know how he got a camera inside my house to see what I do twice each year when I have my busy, busy weekend. But we love doing these t-shirts, and you have been kind enough to buy them in the past, so I hope you'll buy this one too. And by the way, a lot of people have been asking, yeah, you will get it in time for the time change, so you'll have it to wear at your time change party this year. And of course, it's then appropriate twice every year from here out, right?
I don't even know what you just said.
Time change party, you know, like we all have.
Right.
Proceeds this time around, by the way, benefit a phenomenal local charity based right here in Orange, California. It's the Southern California Bulldog Rescue. And you may be wondering, why do they have a rescue just for this one breed of dogs? You can't believe how many bad things happen to good bulldogs. And we thought we'd take a couple of minutes just to tell you a little bit about the charity with somebody who loves this charity and works very closely with them and has for years. My own wife, you guys. Donna Baxter joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi, kitten.
This is where Bean risks his job every time by bringing on the funnier half.
Yes. Believe me, I'm going to be hearing about that, I'm sure. Now, Donna, all I remember is when you, and of course, you spend about 80% of your life following animals on Instagram. That seems to be how you live. But I just remember when you first started following the Southern California Bulldog Rescue on Instagram, your heart would break. Like every day you'd barely be able to get out of bed because you were so sad about the condition that some of these dogs were surrendered or rescued. And then that just prompted you to want to do work with them, right?
Oh, my God. I laid on the floor in a ball for days. I think I just drew the shades and I cried and cried and cried. And you were like, Donna, Jesus, what is going on? But it was because I had seen Stewie, who was in your video yesterday.
That couldn't have wanted to get away from Bean more. Stewie did not want to have anything to do with Bean, even though Bean was trying his best to be totally loving towards Stewie.
But Stewie is a great example of the thousands of dogs that this charity has rescued. Just
Absolutely.
Mention briefly for folks who didn't see the video some of what Stewie went through before he got to the rescue.
Stewie had a dislocated wrist that had not been reset, so he could barely walk. He had bladder stones that were embedded so deeply in his urethra, they had to split his penis open and reroute his urethra to the backside of his body. He had a bite on his face like he'd been a bait dog for a dog fighting. Oh. He was completely dead behind the eyes. He wouldn't come when called. When he went to rescue, he just laid in a ball in a corner. He wouldn't come to people. He was terrified of food and people handling him. He couldn't be picked up. It was really awful. And I think at that time, the foster, Tammy Leckie, who is amazing, she was so terrified he just wasn't going to make it because he just didn't have the will to thrive.
And so how do they get him past that?
So what they do is it's constant reminders that you are safe and you are loved. And that is what is so impressive about what these people do is this is not their full-time job. These are all unpaid volunteers. These are unpaid fosters. They pay for so many of their supplies because it's just not possible for, you know, the rescue to invest in, you know, everything that they need on their own. And so they just constantly love him and constantly give him affection and constantly make sure that he knows that he's in a safe environment where he can finally, you know, relax.
Why do bulldogs, why is it bulldogs?
Bulldogs are a very specific, you know, because of the way they're bred genetically, they have so many problems that you just wouldn't get with a, like a Labrador. They have squished faces. So they have palates that are, that need to be resected and shortened so that they can breathe better. They have wrinkles and folds everywhere that tend to collect moisture and dirt. So they'll get infected under their nose fold, in their tail pockets, their ears.
And do people just give up on them?
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. Their dog gets mange and they give up on it, or their dog gets an ear infection and they don't treat it and the dog goes deaf. You know, I mean, there's just story after story of dogs that people need to know when they get a breed like that, that it's going to be a little more work and you're going to have to be a little more savvy about what you're doing with your dog.
Right.
And a lot of people, I mean, Donna has shown me pictures of dogs who just get surrendered because they have cancer and the owner just can't or won't deal with that, for instance. You know what I mean?
Wow. Or they have allergies. Who doesn't have allergies? Everybody has allergies.
Yeah, that'd have been put down a long time ago.
They get pink, they lose a little bit of hair, and people are like, oh, no, this costs too much. And, I mean, no doubt, veterinary care costs a lot. But these dogs, they're a specialty breed. You cannot leave them outside. You can't ignore them. You can't neglect them. You know, like you maybe could get away, not that I'm endorsing neglect, but you can probably get away with, like, not cleaning your lab's folds, where you need to clean a bulldog every single day.
You have to
be
much more careful, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely much more careful. And it's really sad because of puppy mills, unfortunately. You know, the breed is genetically being devalued by and diluted. So you're getting dogs with a lot more systemic problems.
Well, I'm just happy to see the dogs that get out of abusive situations, or dogs that, I mean, literally they're dogs in puppy mills, Kevin, that they just keep in crates that are so small the dog can't even stand up. And that, of course, just makes it impossible for them to grow. And then they're, you know, then they can't walk. I mean, there's just problem after problem. But there's no dog in too serious a condition that the Southern California Bulldog Rescue will not do everything they can to rehabilitate and then go through foster care and then rehome to a forever home. And Donna, we're almost out of time here, but you told me yesterday that they've got over 100 bulldogs right now.
They have 103 bulldogs in two separate kennels and several fosters right now. 103 bulldogs. That is a remarkable amount. Each bulldog costs, in general, between $1,000 and $2,000 just to get them basic medical care. That would mean, you know, their vaccines, their spay, their flea and tick care, their, you know, any medications that they might need. Other bulldogs cost an enormous amount. Some bulldogs require stem cell replacement, you know, ACL, you know, TPLO surgeries.
They sound like a pain in the ass.
I mean, it's incredible. And they don't get any money from the government. They're completely self-funded and donor-funded.
Wow.
So,
well, we're out of time, but I just want to say this. Look, there's lots of reasons to buy the T-shirt. Like I said, you care about the language. That's number one.
Not number one. The dogs is number one, I'd say.
The dogs are three or four on the list. Too. I'm just saying,
getting your daylight saving party together.
Right, sure.
Exactly.
Right?
But if you love animals and you want to do a great local charity that really does a lot to help animals, and by the way, go to the Kevin and Bean Instagram and you'll see Stewie that we talked about and a bunch of other dogs that have been through the process. They really are a wonderful organization that we will vouch for.
I just want to say one more thing about SoCal Bulldog Rescue. They are the only rescue that I know that does not leave any bulldog behind. Their saying is no bulldog left behind. They take the worst of the worst cases, and a lot of other charities will cherry pick dogs so that they're cute or they're photogenic or they can raise money with that dog. Not SoCal Bulldog Rescue.
I just like to say it's admirable that you're doing this, Donna. And if the listeners want to support and they want to buy a shirt, that's fantastic. They're on sale at 10 a.m. today for 24 hours. And if you don't want the shirt, you can still help the charity.
Absolutely.
Help the dog.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You can make a donation or be a foster parent or whatever you want to do. Exactly. Right.
I know most people are going to go, what's a typewriter?
No, that was my favorite part.
It's very confusing for people.
Spend your $19, help a dog throw the shirt away.
Exactly.
All right, okay. KROQ.com, 24 hours starting today at 10. Thank you, sweetheart. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, babe.
Michael Henderson from Covina, by the way, won those Clippers tickets for the home opener for Saturday night against the Suns. We'll have them for you again tomorrow. And by the way, everyone who wins that qualifies for the Ultimate Fan Experience, which includes passes to the private San Manuel Club and the pregame warm-ups, valet parking, so much more. Pretty good deal. Dave's very excited about his Clippers this year.
Yeah, he is every year. Yeah.
By the way, where the hell's Dave's song? Remember when Dave used to care about the show and used to give us a new Clipper song every year?
I think it's been three or four seasons since
he's
done
it. Working on it.
Yeah, working on it.
Right. Always working on it. Hey, guys, we're not going to have time to do a deep dive on this, but I do want to bring it up, and you tell me if you think I have a reason to be concerned and if this is something we may want to address maybe on tomorrow or another day.
Okay.
I went to get a new driver's license. Mm-hmm. First of all, I look adorable in my photo. I asked the guy who took the photo, I said, do I look as adorable as I hoped? And he said, it's really more precious than adorable. And I felt good about that exchange.
Wow, yes. What's happening?
This was the conversation that I had.
I've never used the word adorable about myself ever. Or anyone else, actually.
But here's the thing that I'm going to bring up that was new to me as I got a new driver's license yesterday. And that is, they says, because I went in for the enhanced license, which, by the way, in many states, in California, there's something on Jerry Brown's desk right now. He may be signing this, and this may be coming to your state, too.
What's an enhanced license?
An enhanced
license.
You
can go, like, 100?
No. Oh. I wish that were the Senate. No, an enhanced license is something that they are trying to do to strengthen that they have information on you that you are a citizen and that you are legal. And they claim that they're using it to make travel easier, especially going up to Canada and going into Mexico. It's supposed to speed up the process because there'll be a chip in your driver's license that will verify who you are.
So when you make your drug runs, you can do it easier.
Yeah, quicker to get through.
I guess that's the point. So, and this first came on my radar a few months ago. I realized my license was going to expire, and I saw that starting in January of 2018, I was not going to be able to travel with my driver's license as an ID anymore. Like, I cannot get on a plane with a driver's license as a legal ID starting next month or starting in
January.
Is that
because your driver's license runs out?
I'm saying the non-enhanced licenses in several states are not going to be valid for travel anymore. You're going to have to get
an
enhanced
current
license.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yes. Huh. You're going to need a passport or a birth certificate or some other item of identification in order to travel. Now, I don't know what the specifics are of why they're doing it.
I carry my birth certificate everywhere.
I do know that at the Department of License yesterday, they says, you now have a chip in your new driver's license, and you need to sign here to say that you are aware of that and you authorize that. Now, when the government puts a chip in something that is on your body all the time.
Oh, did we say your card? We meant your neck.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, what am I opening myself up for here? Am I?
You're going to be followed everywhere you go. They're going to know where you are. They're going to track you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Is that okay?
No.
Is that what we want? Do we want us all to be walking around with a government-implanted chip in our wallets?
Although, having said that, they'll lose interest in following you quite quickly.
Well, they'll say, does this guy ever leave the house? I mean, am I just being...
I should be worried about that.
Am I being paranoid to wonder what the actual use is for that? I know what they're saying the use is. Hey, this is supposed to make it easier and safer and faster for you to travel.
Well, they use chips in credit cards now. Mm-hmm. So that they have chip readers, and that way they can't be stolen as easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that the same thing?
But they're not tracking you.
They're not tracking you.
Are they?
And by the way, Kevin, thank you for bringing up the stolen, because what's to stop, and I don't know what kind of information is on this chip. See, this is what I'm saying. I don't have a lot of information, but what's to stop a guy, just like somebody can steal a credit card number with a device 20 feet away from the credit card, what's to stop somebody from being able to, I don't know, download all of my information, my address, my Social Security number, whatever is on that chip? It makes me very uncomfortable.
Didn't you have to do a thumbprint as well?
No, I didn't have to do a thumbprint. I had to bring in my passport.
Did you get your new license out of the back of a van in a Vons parking lot?
No. I brought in my passport. I brought in my passport and my birth certificate.
Okay.
And then they said, here's your new license. Well, we're going to mail it to you, and it's going to have a chip in it. And I don't know how to feel about the chip. I feel like that this is too much government, you guys.
Is it the law?
is it the law?
Yeah, do you have to get that?
You do not have to get the enhanced license if you don't want it. You are allowed to opt out of it. But they say, for instance, if you want to travel and you want to use your license as your ID, you need this one.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So for me, yeah, that's the driver's license
that
I need.
You're not doing anything that they're going to need, that they're going to get any information from.
But that's like saying I don't care if the government listens in on my phone calls because I don't have something to hide.
You're not saying anything interesting in your phone calls either.
My point is, I'm nervous about it.
Nobody wants to follow you.
Please tell me I have nothing to worry about and this is cool.
Listen, the guy said your picture was precious. Call it a win.
Right? Just leave it at that.
Come on.
I would like to suggest that we need more info, Bean.
I know
we don't
I
have
do.
Time here, but okay. We do need to follow this up and find out some
and
more info.
And there's so many questions with our licenses here in California. Were we granted until 2020 now to update them? Were we not? Are these the enhanced ones? It's so confusing.
Yes, it is. And I think I'm telling you what, a lot of people are going to be surprised when they show up to get on a flight in 2018 and can't get on a plane because all they have is the non-enhanced driver's license. You know what I mean? I think this should be bigger news than it is. But I don't like this chip. That's all I'm saying.
So I don't like any chip.
All
chips are BS. Am I right? It is 7:52.
Jim Rome, Talk Sports, coming up right after the top of the hour. Then we're going to need your calls if you've ever seen an alien. That's coming up on K-Rock. Here's Ralph now with the Showbiz Beat.
Bean's dying to see an alien.
That's how you talk to him.
Yeah, I really am.
Yes, Ralph.
It's just...
What?
There's a lot of things to see on this planet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people to meet, a lot of things to do.
But he doesn't like any of those.
I know, but
see,
once
wants
you start
to see an alien.
I can't wait to meet aliens when I'm up in the tree. Then, you know, aren't you just missing out on the real things in the world?
I think we've all accepted that about being a long time ago.
I'm not missing out on any real things. If that is a real thing, I want to experience it.
But how can that even be in the top 100 things on your list?
It's in the top 5 of his list.
I know.
It should be. I would imagine, Ralph, if you had the opportunity to interact with a being from outer space, you would.
I don't even consider that, though, because it is the stuff of fiction.
So far.
Thank you, Kevin.
What do you mean, so far?
We've
been around a long time as a species.
Right.
No one's dropped by yet.
We've been around.
Maybe they've just been making stops at other planets.
We've been around for a millionth of a second in the big picture of the universe, though.
Okay, well, when they get here, then they got my full attention, I promise.
Then you'll be all in?
Yeah, but I'm not sitting around saying, I'd love to meet them.
Well, maybe some of our listeners have already met them, and that will change your mind when you hear their story.
Will be a treat.
Based on
everyone involved.
How exciting the probing was, maybe you'll change your mind.
And I promise that we'll try to treat you with respect and not make fun of you.
Am I going to be in the room?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I'm not sure I can make that promise for myself either. But we'll try.
Jennifer Lopez. And her ex-husband, Mark Anthony, and her new boyfriend, Alex Rodriguez, are all getting together for a little three-way.
All right. Go on.
A fundraising three-way.
Oh.
They have raised... How much money do you think the three of them in their combined effort... How much do you think they've raised for hurricane relief efforts in Puerto Rico?
$5.99.
Very close. Anyone want to take another guess?
Higher.
This one says higher.
Uh-huh. Higher.
Anyone else?
I'll say $50 million.
That's too high. $35 million.
Oh, sorry.
$35 million.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is great. Some of it was raised during the One Voice Somos Live concert for disaster relief, while the remainder is from corporate donations and pledges. And it's just terrific what so many individuals, especially, you know, people with high profiles like Jennifer Lopez, have dedicated themselves to helping Puerto Rico. I was just reading this morning. That only 19% of the island has power still.
Wow.
This is almost a month later.
That's insane.
I think it was 59% have access to clean drinking water still.
Awful.
Wow.
It's just beyond
comprehension how devastated that island is.
And so many people are getting sick because of that water situation, getting lepto and other diseases.
Well, they're drinking whatever they can find, and often these water sources are contaminated, they say, largely from wildlife and other creatures that were killed by the storm or sitting in streams and rivers and puddles, and they're decomposing, which is creating bacteria, and then people are drinking. You cannot comprehend what a colossal nightmare it is. So don't forget about those folks. They still need some money. And it's
I always feel bad when something like Las Vegas comes along and then everybody sort of forgets about the last one, you know?
And here's the thing. As people say when it happens, for example, like Las Vegas, they say, this isn't the time to talk about that stuff. This isn't the time to talk about stuff. But then a week later, everyone's forgotten about it. So it's the perfect time to talk about while it's still a front of mind and a real concern before people are able to get over this stuff and ignore it. And it's the same thing with disaster relief. Yes, it's sort of off the front pages now, but remember those folks. And if you can, if you haven't donated yet, throw a little money their way because they still need it. It's going to take them years to bounce back from this. So good for Jennifer Lopez. I don't just know how she does it because she. No, never mind. Oh, stop it. No fun anymore.
Yay!
You people are no fun. Alicia Keys. She's back on The Voice next season. NBC has announced the singer's third stint as a coach yesterday. She'll join Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, and first-timer Kelly Clarkson on the coaches panel. So they're your coaches for The Voice, right?
I know.
Yeah.
That's quite the coup.
Right?
The first winner American Idol.
American Idol.
That's
and Idol's
such
coming
an
back.
F you to American Idol, right? And I love it so much. Miss Independent.
My life would suck without her.
Behind those hazelnuts.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yes, Finn.
Discovery Channel said yesterday it's bringing back one of its favorite all-time shows, American Chopper. Remember the motorcycle guys who used to make motorcycles?
That's Jesse James?
No, it was Paul Toofel. Senior and Paul Toofel Jr.
I never watched that one.
You never watched American Chopper?
Oh, no. And they would
they hated each other. It was like son and dad, they'd fight. Yeah, oh, that looks like crap. What are you talking about, Dad? That fight's too long.
Sounds great.
Hit him with a wrench. It was
remember,
awesome.
Catherwood hosted a live show with them, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I do remember that.
I think like they stopped talking at some point in their relationship. But it'll be back. The show originally ran from 2002 to 2012. And at its peak, averaged about 3.5 million viewers per episode.
Wow.
So Discovery's bringing them back in a big, bad way.
I wanted to ask you, Ralph, if you saw the news of the other show that's being brought back that was announced this week, and that is Supermarket...
Guess My Lube?
Supermarket Sweep is coming back.
Oh, Supermarket Sweep.
No, I did not see that. People love that show.
I did not see that.
What kind of competitions, Allie, did they have in the supermarket? Were you supposed to, like, buy the most stuff?
I think you just put stuff in your basket, right?
But what was the challenge though? Because anyone can go and just dump stuff into a shopping cart. What was the game? How was it played?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Is this a beloved American show?
You had to run around and put stuff in your
basket.
I don't
think I've ever seen an episode
to equal an amount of money faster than your opponent.
I thought there were like questions, like they were up against each other.
None of you know anything about this show.
There were. Like there were questions
open
like
up the cereal and say, hey, figure out this answer. And then you'd have to figure it out before
I'm cereal.
But then they'd ask like jingle questions, like questions about certain products that, no? Is this a different show?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
It just doesn't
matter. And neither
matter.
Do you is what apparently is we're discovering.
That's I know correct. People loved it.
No, they didn't because no one
I feel like
it.
People loved it.
It was originally aired on ABC back in the 60s, but then had a second life on the Lifetime Network throughout the 90s. And the competitors vied for a chance to rush through a simulated supermarket, grabbing giant inflatable mascots, filling up on
who's
meat.
Who's doing the show
now? Yeah,
that was now.
The
what's
final
happening?
Part. But how did they get to that? They had questions.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Well, thanks for bringing
sure
it up,
glad you brought it up, Bean, with no information.
I felt like
for
you guys,
no one's seen.
I felt like you guys might know more about it than I do.
I know all about Guess My Lube. I know all about that show. I can tell you exactly how that works.
That one's starting to sound a little better.
You had to answer a question. If you got it right, you got a latex glove. I'll tell you that much.
lube
number one? Lube number two or lube number three? You get a choice behind a door. Sometimes it was olive oil. Sometimes.
Mm-mm.
Right?
The good
right?
stuff.
That aired
sand.
On...
sand.
Sand is the worst thing I've found.
That was the zonker. They would call that the zonker lube.
The zonker. Yes.
hit him with the zonker.
Oh, you got sand as your lube. Boom, boom, ba-doom. Ow!
Didn't that air right after Hat Full of Carpet on Thursday nights?
I thought so. That was, they used to call it Hat Lube TV. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Lithgow is 72 years old today. Vander Holyfield, 55. John Favreau, 51 years old today. Trey Parker's 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's just after 8 o'clock on Thursday, and that means time to check in with Jim Rome.
And Jim Rome is everywhere. JimRome.com. 3 great hours of sports talk radio from 9 till noon. Of course, new episodes of the Jim Rome podcast every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, and soon to be coming to CBS Television. Jim, are you young and handsome enough to get back on television, my friend?
Jim Rome is nowhere. No, obviously not. Man, you know how much makeup we have to slam on this grill? No, of course I'm not. Who thought that was a good idea? Hey, let's put Rome on TV.
When are you coming to my TV? When can I see that?
January 2nd, The Jungle, my radio program, is going to be simulcast on TV for the first time ever on CBS Sports Network. January 2nd, so be there.
All right.
Well, square.
Congratulations. Well, look, this is the time of year where all 5 major sports in America are happening at the same time. So there's so much to talk about, but let's get through a couple topics. And we got to start with, obviously, the Dodgers. No one is sweating what happened last night at Wrigley, right, Jim?
They best not be. I mean, nice of the defending champs to actually show up to that series finally. So a little credit where credit's due, I guess. At least they didn't quit, but nobody expected the Dodgers to run the table and not lose a game en route to their first World Championship in 30 years. They're fine. They've got Clayton Kershaw tonight with a chance to close them out. It's going to be just fine. Do not sweat this. They're good. They're good.
We've been talking about a lot lately how different baseball has become, where everybody is swinging for home runs now. There's lots more strikeouts and lots more home runs. And last night was such a perfect example of that when all 5 runs in the game were solo shots. It's weird that that's how the game is played now.
Chicks love the long ball. That's exactly how the game is played right now. I mean, these guys are not going station to station anymore. They're playing long ball. And the thing is, the Cubs are hitting home runs, but that's all they're hitting. They're hitting 172 for the series. And for them to get beyond this, and good for them, they jumped ship a couple of times last night. They still have to beat Kershaw, Rich Hill, and Yu Darvish to advance, and that's not happening. Can I tell you? I will let Sanchez host my show for a day if that happens. Of course, if they don't pull that off, he has to quit your show.
Jim, that'd be great. Hey, Jim, let's talk about Cubs fans.
How's that grab you, Sanchez?
Cubs fans have turned. They are a mean bunch now that they've won one World Series. They start booing all the time. They're a completely different group.
You know what they were? The Cubs, back in the day, when they had that curse working and they couldn't win anything, they were, quote, the lovable losers.
Right.
You know, you were sympathetic. You were empathetic. You liked them. They're such great people. Chicago's a nice New York. But the second they win this thing, you're right. Now they're unwieldy. Now they're not a whole hell of a lot of fun, are they?
They're just dicks.
Sitting out there with their sad faces, slamming their beers. It is pretty funny, actually.
Well, there's going to be a lot of sad faces at the end of tonight's game.
Here, there's not.
No, not here at all. This is very exciting. All right, let's transition over to the NBA. The season is up and running. It's already been exciting, and we'll talk about poor Gordon Hayward in a minute. But let's first start locally. Clippers versus Lakers. How are they looking for you this year, Jim?
All right, so bottom line here. The Lakers are not going to be good this year. I'm fine with that. As long as they're entertaining, it's going to be fine. And they will be with Lonzo Ball running the point. But understand this. It's not about this season. It's about the offseason when they can go into the free agent market and finally convince somebody who matters to come and ball here. No names mentioned. LeBron James. No mention of who he might bring with him. Paul George. So all the Lakers have to do, guys, is run with Lonzo, stay away from any catastrophic injuries, and wait for LeBron and Paul George to come here and make them matter again.
So this is a waiting out season, and yes, that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Right. The young guys get better. Yes.
Okay, but this isn't a season like we've seen so often with the Lakers where they need to lose as many games as possible for draft picks. That's not what we're talking about, right?
Well, that'd be fine, too. That'd be fine, too, if they lost a lot of games and got that draft pick and didn't lose it. Now, listen, they're going to lose 50 games, I think, again. They're not going to defend anybody again, but they're going to be more fun, and there is hope right around the corner because, I mean, sincerely, I think LeBron James is going to come. He's got a house here. He's got a production company here.
Yeah.
If this guy could win a championship with a third franchise, he might blow right by Jordan, so it's going to get better for sure.
All right. How about the Clippers post CP3? What do you think?
They are better than the Lakers, but not competitive with the rest of the best of the West. CP3 is in Houston right now, and you're certainly not going to tell me they're better without Chris Paul than they are with him.
Right.
And the positive is they've got a 30-year-old rookie named Milos Teodosic, who's unbelievable. This guy's going to be a freak of nature. You've never seen anything like him. He's going to be a lot of fun. But they're still the Clippers, and I still don't trust Sanchez's guy, Blake Griffin.
You still don't.
I mean, how do you trust a guy who broke his hand attempting to break the face of an assistant equipment manager who is half his size, and yes, he gets hurt a lot. If he can go an entire year without breaking his hand on somebody's face who's half his size and not get hurt, then I will trust him.
All right. I think dating a Kardashian was the final nail for me.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, hey, come Allie, what's on, up? Dude. Whatever,
what's
Jim?
Up, Allie? Fire, Allie! God, that was so good. I love that I could just sit here and just rant. Then Allie shows up and her takes are better than mine. Right, Allie?
I don't agree with that.
She picks her spots, Allie? Man.
I don't agree.
She is so good. She is so smart.
You brought up Blake Griffin.
Allie, you rule.
I love you, Jim.
What's up, Allie?
All right. Should Kevin and I just back out of the room and give you guys some time here?
We're good.
Okay.
What are you wearing?
I'm good.
You brought
same
up,
thing I'm always wearing, Allie.
Save that talk for Twitter, you guys. We brought up injuries. What
don't
happened?
You slide into my DMs again, Allie.
What happened to Jeremy Lin last night? And for God's sakes, Gordon Haywood, we won't see him for the rest of the year, right?
No, I don't think you see either one of those guys for the rest of the year. Jeremy Lin got hurt. Reportedly, he's going to be out the rest of the year. But can I say this about Haywood? And I think I have to warn you before I say what I'm about to say. Like, okay. This description is really graphic in nature. Oh. It looked like my man put his foot on backwards.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, it twisted 120 degrees. It was facing the wrong way. It literally was dangling off of his leg.
Oh.
It was so grotesque that it happened in front of the Cavaliers bench, and these guys literally saw it, and some of them ran off the floor.
Yeah. I have broken
an
ankle.
That's how bad that was.
I've broken an ankle and thrown up immediately, and that's what I do every – I can't even watch something like that.
Yeah, it makes you nauseous.
It really
sure.
does. So,
I'm surprised the guys weren't throwing up.
Right.
We've seen
they may
really
have been
horrific injuries.
When they ran off.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible, terrible thing. Like, the kind of thing, if you have your phone in your hand, you drop it, you look for the remote control. It was a grotesque, terrible thing. I never want to see anything like that.
And he's
again.
Out for the whole season.
He is. He had surgery last night, and he's going to be out for the whole year.
9 to noon for Jim Rome doing Sports Talk Today, the Jim Rome podcast with new episodes every Tuesday. By the way, talk about a 1-2 punch, Jim. Give a quick hit to your guests on Week 9.
Week 9, we had Kevin Millar, and we also had Bill Cowher. So
I mean, come on.
The podcast is pretty fun, guys.
It really is great.
If you
could just figure out how to not play those voicemail calls, I think the rest of us would enjoy it, too.
You know, right? The problem is the losers who call that thing like that stuff way better than any of my interviews.
Well, you're doing great work. JimRome.com for all the deeds. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you, sir.
You guys are the best.
Thanks.
See you then.
Bye. A reminder. Daylight Savings is coming up in about 2 weeks, so we got a t-shirt out that you can buy today at 10 a.m. for 24 hours.
I'm giving up. I just can't. You're beating it out of me.
Yes. I won?
I think you may have won. I think I'm just going to let it go. I'm not even going to point out that Daylight Saving Time is ending, and it's the start of Standard Time. I won't even point that out this time.
Okay.
10 o'clock this morning, t-shirts go on sale for 24 hours, and tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 show go on sale tomorrow at noon. Get details on both events happening this week at krock.com.
All right. We're going to just admit up front that it's possible this could be the topic we don't get calls on. I hope that's not true because we really, 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 really want to talk to you if you've seen an alien. We have had topics where we discuss off the air, is it possible we'll get any calls? And one of them was you faked your own death.
Mm-hmm.
And we had enough calls for an hour.
Yeah, could have gone all day.
We were really shocked by the number of people who called and told us their elaborate plan to fake their own death and why they were doing it. It was insane.
Oh, my.
I guess a lot more people have thought of that than we imagined. But this is one, and as Kevin said earlier, we are ready to believe you.
Right.
The point of you calling
Remember
is
flat earthers?
Yes, I do.
We had them too.
We did try to hear their side of the story, but we just couldn't resist. But right. What I'm saying is we really do. We want to believe you. We're not asking you to call so that we can make fun of you and tell you you didn't see an alien. We want to find out if you saw one, what it was like.
I can't promise that we won't, but we'll try not to.
Okay.
Those guys think they can just show up drunk anytime they want and get a cheap anal probe.
All right. The reason this is in the news is because of a story that we covered a few days ago about a true story about a Republican congressional candidate in Florida who, it turns out, in the course of learning more about the candidate, says that when she was 7 years old,
the aliens took her up to their spaceship. She did an interview a few years ago about this that has now resurfaced. She said, I went in, there were some round seats that were there and some quartz rocks that controlled the ship. It wasn't like airplanes. She talked about what the aliens looked like, that they resembled the famous Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio. They told her that a cave in the country of Malta contains 30,000 non-human skulls and that the World's Energy Center lies in Africa. Okay, so those are all. She not only went onto a ship, she communicated with the aliens, and they shared this information with her and with humanity.
And you're missing one thing. They still communicate with her telepathically.
Yes, to this day.
To this day, she's still communicating with them.
Because once you're in the club, Kevin, you're in the club, man. It's a lifetime membership.
Right.
So let's assume she's telling the truth, and this is what she thinks happened.
Right.
Then we had a discussion about whether that disqualifies her from being a public servant. Is she now, in your mind,
does she lose our vote?
Is she no longer a viable candidate because she says she was abducted by aliens? I say no.
This is complicated because before Donald Trump, I would say 100% in. I would vote for her twice if I could. Right. Figure out a way to vote for her twice.
Because for
years,
for years
you voted for comedy and you always thought it was the way to go.
Right. But then the adults were always steering the ship and it was always doing the right thing. And I was just being an a-hole voting for comedy.
Yeah.
And then comedy won and now this is happening. So I'm not so positive if I would vote for her or not.
So you're going to start vetting your candidates
I feel like I just might stop voting.
Now,
that's not the answer,
That's
Kevin.
Not the answer?
No.
Okay.
Now, there have been... How many – let's say there are 300 million Americans in America because that's where Americans live.
What if they're traveling? Are they still – would they count?
Let's just keep it to the 300 million people that are here in our country.
Right. Okay.
How many of them do you think believe they have seen an alien spacecraft? They have seen a UFO, something that they cannot identify, they do not think was a plane or a comet or a weather balloon or whatever.
I would guess there are a lot of people who've seen that because you do see stuff that you can't figure out. And sometimes there's a way to explain it away and sometimes there just isn't. But making that leap to the fact that UFO equals alien is where I have a problem.
Okay,
but you can't just stay with, I don't know what it was.
Would you say that millions of people think they have seen a UFO, or is that overstating it?
I don't know about millions,
I would say
hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I would say I would say a million, yeah.
Okay.
Think they have seen a UFO.
Now, it's
and by UFO, do we mean alien?
Well,
what else would it be?
Right? Well, just unidentified.
Just Steve up there?
Just Steve. You don't know. It's some people have room for I can't explain it. And other people say must be alien. I know it sounds like a moment with. I understand that.
But you meant that sincerely.
But
this
I meant
time
it
around.
Sincerely.
Sure.
But we're not just looking for people who've seen lights in the sky though, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to find
somebody who has met an
somebody
alien.
Or seen an alien. Somebody like future representative Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera. That's what we're looking for. Is somebody who believes that they not only have seen the ship, but have actually seen the person in the ship.
Maybe they even believe they walk amongst us. The truth is out there. Who's with me?
I've heard that. Yeah. All right. Do we wanna take Juan now and just
Let's take Juan
and just get a taste for what he's got? We'll take Juan call. All right, Juan is in Riverside, already suspect. He's line one.
All right, Juan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Not just lights in the sky, but you actually believe that you saw a creature who was not from Earth.
Well, yeah, kind of. Like, so it was a sphere that was hovering on a mountain. So my house is right next to mountains in Riverside, and it was hovering with the light under it. And as soon as I'm pulling into my house, the light shuts off, but you can, you know how at night you can still see a shadow of something, you know, like it's not necessarily pitch black.
Okay.
That thing just out of nowhere just blasted away, and I'm just, guys, trust me, I'm like, I wouldn't lie to you.
Qualifying question, were you high?
Possibly, but.
But again, we're still just talking about lights in the sky, right? That's where you're not talking about seeing any kind of little green men or anything, right?
No, but it's still like there.
But
no,
what do you think is on the ship, Bean?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, are you saying is that where we're at? Is if you see a UFO, then you have to believe in aliens? Or are you using UFO as the definition of it just means it's identified? It could be some sort of military craft you're not familiar with.
Well, like Kevin said, if it's an aircraft or a UFO, then there has to be an alien in there. So technically, I did see one, kind of.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Juan. We appreciate the call, sir. Victoria, you hang on. Anybody else who's seen an alien, all right? I'd like to kind of up it from what Juan has seen. but it's possible we may not get there, right? It's
right.
I mean, it is possible. Look, when we brought this topic up, we said we don't know.
Spaceships, right. Aliens, right. It's all there.
I hope it's all there.
I feel like Victoria's going to bring it. Okay. I do. I feel good about her. So please hold.
Yeah, please hold. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls and texts.
Just ahead of Smashing Pumpkins, let's fit in Nadia from Irvine. Hi, Nadia. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, we can. Nadia, we're talking to people who have seen aliens. Is that you, my dear?
It is me. So I was at the Orleans in Las Vegas. I was at the roulette table. It was about 6 a.m., and so it was kind of empty. And I was sitting there, and there's a walkway that goes through all, you know, like the craps tables and roulette tables. And we look to the left. There's this, I guess, a man. He was maybe 2.5 feet tall, kind of almost looked like a kid. He was wearing this white kind of space suit and this humongous wig. And his face was, like, covered by the wig.
Let her speak.
Are you the only person that saw this?
No. Okay. I had one other person in my but again, there wasn't that many people in the casino. And the other person at my table, we were just staring, and the dealer, who's maybe in his 70s, he looked at us and he's like, did you guys see that? And we're like, yeah. And then because the whatever it was walked slowly and then walked so fast, like light speed, just walked, just ran away.
Okay. And all right. We're like, Nadia.
Look,
Nadia.
It's 6 a.m. and you're in Vegas. You're drunk.
No.
Am I right? There's no one sober at 6 a.m. in Vegas.
Well, listen, so then the dealer says, he looks at us, he's like, you guys just saw an alien. And we're like, what?
You saw a guy dressed up. You guys saw a guy wearing a funny costume.
He was not. And he looked at us and he's like, I've been telling people for years that they come into our hotel and they kind of just creep around and then they leave. The security footage never picks them up.
Did you stand up and follow it and try to talk to it?
It went at light speed, Kevin.
It just
ran. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to that part.
Nadia, I love you so much. I'm so grateful that you called. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. More calls if you've seen an alien at 1-800-520-1067 after the Pumpkins on K-Rock.
Look, we're doing the best we can. We can't promise that we won't make fun of you, but we're going to try.
We're not going to make fun. I'm going to say we're not going to make fun of you. We want to believe you. Hello, Kevin and Bean from the 714. I've had encounters with tall, dark entities since I was a kid, and I know for a fact that no matter where you are living, these beings will find you. Talking about aliens now, okay? I've also noticed that if you put LED blinking lights on your counter or bed, they kind of don't approach us often. So that's a good tip. That's very educational, right? All right, let's squeeze in a couple more calls, shall we? Why don't we start with Robert? He's in Upland, Line 6.
I'd just like to point out that we were afraid we wouldn't get any calls, Bean.
Yes, yeah, we're booked.
Yeah,
we got them all day. Yeah, he saw an alien, and that's what we're looking for. Robert, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What's going on, man?
Okay. So thanks for having me on. The reason why I called is because this girl Nadia that just called.
Right.
The same thing happened to me, and I rarely say the story because I think that people are going to look at me like I'm crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because one, I don't believe in any of this.
Okay. So start the story.
That's the reason why it motivated me to make this call.
Start the story.
So then when I was young, I think in my late teens, I was hanging out with a couple friends in his backyard. Mm-hmm. And it was dark, and out of the corner, same thing, a little, I'm not going to say it's an alien, but a little man starts to walk.
How tall? How tall? You said little.
A foot and a half to 2 feet.
A foot and a half.
Like she saw.
We're talking Brad Williams, right? That's what we're all thinking.
No, he's 4'4". So he towers over this.
Okay.
Baby. So I'm looking at it, and it walked as if it was not running. Not walking, but almost like trying to hide from us, but it was right next to us.
Okay.
And when it reaches the corner, which was shrubs, I couldn't see it anymore. Now, I was hanging out with two friends. I didn't say anything because I was trying to figure out what it was.
Were you drinking and or high?
Neither or.
Robert, why do you assume alien and not the more obvious possibility, leprechaun?
Well, you know, that's what I'm going to say. It looked like a little man, you know, like a little human being.
Right.
Small.
Okay.
And so I didn't say anything, but when I couldn't see it around the corner anymore, I said, did you guys see that? One of my friends said, saw what? The other one said, just real calm, I saw it. So when he said that, we went around the corner trying to find whatever it was.
Right.
There's nothing there. Nothing there.
Then you went back and had another beer.
Okay. All right, Robert, I'm glad you called. I hope your little friend comes back. Thank you very much.
I believe you, Robert.
So I hope so, too.
I believe you.
We love you as much as we love Nadia.
I believe Nadia.
Hey, let's talk to Jessica real quick. She's on Line 1, Los Angeles. Now, she hasn't seen an alien, but she thinks she has an explanation as to why so many people have.
Okay. Jessica?
Hi. I'm here to talk about science, guys.
Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, we have no room for that.
Wrong
in this
show.
We're talking about people who've seen aliens.
Yeah, okay. So there's a form of schizophrenia. It's called schizoaffective disorder or hyperschizophrenia. I can't remember. I took a physiological class a long time ago.
This is our expert, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one who's going to make it all clear for us.
I like that you can't remember, first of all. Go ahead.
It was a long time ago. I'm like 40 now.
Right.
So what happens is, you know how people with schizophrenia, they have hallucinations where they think God is telling them to do things.
Right,
they
right.
So, like, you know, the government's after them.
Right, we understand. Okay, so you're saying seeing aliens is part of that.
Yeah, it's a form that's not as bad to impact your life where you go and get diagnosed.
I love you, Jessica, but I don't agree with you, and I'm going to hang up because we have other people who have seen aliens online.
Right, and wouldn't that be something so convenient for the government to say? That they have schizophrenia.
The government's mouthpiece right here, Jessica.
Right, Jessica. Right. Working for the man.
How about a little more time finding out who's pretending to be Melania Trump and a little less time coming in on us with the aliens, all right?
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's do one more. This is Tom. He says he's calling in space. He's in space right now for the call. Tom, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. It's your old friend Tom DeLong calling from the rings of Saturn. Yeah.
Tom DeLong, X-Blink 182, why are you calling us?
Because the government's lying to you. We've interacted with aliens. Since the existence of humans, there's been non-carbon-based life forms that have taken life amongst us, and they've infiltrated our brains.
Okay,
and we're all lizard people, and we don't even know it.
Okay.
All right. Apparently, we're lizard people. All right.
One more thing.
Yes, Tom.
Allie.
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay with only 7 planets after I destroy Uranus?
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why are you a mess?
At 8:53.
Why are you such a mess?
I've got stuff going on. I'm a busy person.
He's got plates.
I have a lot of plates in the air.
I have a lot of plates in the air, yeah.
Hey, just ahead of showbiz.
Don't come at me with, hey, all aggressive.
No, stuff. I'm not aggressive.
I'm trying to be warm and welcoming to people. Don't just come out of the gate. Hey, coming up, listen to me.
You guys?
No, I felt like you were mocking me. First.
I want to pass this question along frequent Kevin and Bean listener and contributor Holmey, who reaches out to us and asks on the last topic, is there anyone on Earth that you would believe if they say they saw aliens? If your wife or your child or your parents said that they saw aliens, would you then believe it, or would you refuse to believe it no matter who it is?
Only if it was in a Las Vegas casino.
That's
where they always are. That's where they congregate.
I would say if you're young enough when you hear it from your parents, you would probably believe it.
If you went home today,
you'd
put her in a facility, right?
She's crazy just for marrying me already.
Right, so,
we
already know she's suspect mentally. And then we put her in a home. If
I would not believe
aliens.
That, no.
You would not believe anybody. Doesn't matter. So unless it happens to you, you wouldn't believe it with anybody.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, that's probably a very reasonable answer, but he asked the question, so I thought I would ask. So, all right, it is 8:54, Thursday morning. Ralph's back for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm just saying you guys could have used me during those calls.
We could have used
you? Could have used me.
Well,
we were trying to encourage people to call.
Seemed like there was there was a town that needed cleaning up there, like in the Old West. It was running rampant, and you guys needed a new sheriff. And
we
now
were trying our best
just
not
bodies
to be sheriffs
littering the streets. And I hope you're happy. And now the saloon is unusable because of all the blood and bodies and bullet holes.
We did our best.
Well, you failed.
We're trying to be nice to nice people who were brave enough to call with a controversial topic.
Even the crazy ones.
All right, then.
Especially the crazy ones.
Billy Joel! Congratulations, Billy Joel. He's going to be a dad again at the tender age of 68. He broke the news yesterday that his wife, Alexis Roderick, is pregnant with their second child. He says that their 2-year-old daughter, Della Rose, is a good sleeper, and I hope the next one will be too, he said, because old men need their sleep.
That's insane.
Billy Joel's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight, live from Brooklyn. So I'm hoping that maybe Jimmy brings that up and says, what's wrong with you?
You know you can prevent that, right?
You know he's going to bring it up. Should be fun.
Oh, yeah. Who sleeps more, by the way, the children in that family or the father?
Oh, the father.
Father, far. Far. Yeah.
Kids, it's a big misnomer about children and sleep. They're not. There's not a lot of that going on, especially in the first couple years.
But Billy Joel's out for like 19 hours a day,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. they only wake him up to go on stage at Madison Square Garden.
Once
and then,
a month?
Boom, they put him right back in the box. That he came in the Billy Joel box.
Is there a Billy Joel box?
This is exciting. I like this idea. I'm a big fan.
All right.
Kevin, you probably didn't watch it because it's about things that happened longer than a week ago.
I probably didn't.
But there was a series on FX called Feud.
I did not
Betty
watch that.
And Joan.
Heard
about
it.
Betty
oh, it was so good.
Heard it. It was great.
It was about Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. It was really exceptional.
Yeah.
Well done.
I heard that, but no.
It was terrific.
That's what I heard from
it
everyone.
It was wonderful.
I heard that from everyone.
You would have loved it.
No.
So the people who wrote that are writing a new movie about the relationship between Laurence Olivier and his wife for 20 years, Vivien Leigh, who was nuts.
Yeah.
By the way.
He was nuts, wasn't he?
Laurence Olivier?
Oh, no, he wasn't, was he?
Who are you thinking of, do you think?
Who do you think of? I'm thinking of the guy that played The Godfather. What's his name?
Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando is who I was thinking of, yeah.
Huh. How is he related at all to Laurence Olivier?
It's a mistake. Back to
Chip, I need that tape. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but I need that tape.
I'm sure you need that.
Laurence Olivier was a much admired and lauded British stage and film actor, Kevin. Kevin's not paying any attention to me.
Mm-hmm. I know. I hear you.
No, you don't know
lauded
apparently because you thought
British
he was crazy.
Actor,
you thought he was crazy.
No, I hear you.
But he's, not,
he's lauded and he's British.
He's not crazy.
Right.
Considered the greatest actor of the 20th century.
I heard his wife is crazy, though.
His wife, Vivien Leigh, who's no longer with us, was crazy. And she, of course, most famous for playing, Kevin, Vivien Leigh.
For playing, I don't have an answer.
Of course, are paying off.
I now can't. Hiring both locations.
I can't give you anything. Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind.
Right, and Gone with the Wind, right.
And, of course, Blanche DuBois in
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
No.
Close.
I mean,
thank you, Bean.
No.
Not even close.
I'll take that as close. Close.
No. They're classic movies
right.
within 10 years of each other. At least he didn't say it was from, you know, Top Gun or something.
Right. I like how Bean's now lowering his expectations.
A Streetcar
well.
Named Desire, of course.
That's close enough.
Where she co-starred, however, in that movie with Kevin?
Charles Bronson.
No, Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
See, it all comes back full circle
I gotcha.
For you. That's why you got confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was tempestuous, and she liked the booze, and she had mental issues.
Who are we talking about now?
Vivien Leigh.
Okay, all right.
That's why they're making a movie about her life, because she's a fascinating character in history.
Got it.
And it was a tempestuous relationship with poor, long-suffering Laurence Olivier, who adored her, but she would cheat on him with men and women, and all kinds of stuff was going on in that household. So I'm looking forward to that film enormously. Although I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an actress as beautiful and talented as Vivien Leigh in this day and age, who could pull that role off? But we'll see what
How
happens.
About the Cash Me Outside girl? Could she act?
Yes, she could probably do it now that I think about that. It. Yeah.
Cash Me Outside, how about that? Right.
It's,
got that in her.
Speaking of performances, you know it's Halloween time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite Halloween movie, horror character.
Uh-huh.
Is the Wolfman. I love the Wolfman.
Okay. I love the Wolfman too.
I know. Here's a piece of tape.
Ooh, long live the Wolfman.
What was that?
Bean.
What?
Ooh, long live the Wolfman.
What?
Is
that from his podcast?
Oh, Bean.
Ooh, long live the Wolfman.
Oh, I don't. I say let's not discourage this. This is awesome.
I love it.
This is great, and we treasure
and
it.
And I think in the next.
Long live the Wolfman.
I think Bean should play the Wolfman in the next Wolfman movie.
That's uncanny how much he sounds like the Wolfman.
Long live the Wolfman. Can I.
Love it.
Can I tell you guys
No,
you're going to like this. You're gonna
we
like this.
Love it as it is.
I know, but what I'm saying
couldn't
is...
couldn't love it any more than
like,
it is
this
right
is
now.
Even going to make you happier to know
okay.
that I expected this day. I've been walking around with this deep sense of shame on my shoulders.
You knew
for
we would bring it up at
now.
Some point?
I knew at some point the word was getting back to you that I attempted to do the Wolfman howl, and I'm really, I didn't pull it off, and I knew
what?
It.
What? Didn't pull it off?
Are you kidding? It was perfect.
long live the Wolfman.
Come on.
And it was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm like, man, when Ralph hears about this, that's going to be it. It's going to be over.
I speak for Ralph when I say we love it.
Love it. Can't love it any more than I do.
long live the Wolfman. I mean, I could have gone back and tried again. That was my one and only take.
No.
But I thought, I just probably can't pull this off, and I should just accept
you
that.
You thought that was gold.
You don't mess with perfection, man.
Right?
Long live the Wolfman. Who no tipped good. You off, Ralph? Who's your informer here?
I mean,
come
it doesn't
on.
Matter. It's on
it
your
does.
Podcast.
It doesn't matter.
I want to know who dropped
gold.
A dime on me. Come
I
on.
I have people.
It was Edwin, wasn't it?
I have people.
It was Edwin.
It was not Edwin.
Oh. You're acting like it's a negative. We love it.
That's right.
Long live the Wolfman.
My favorite.
I got enemies everywhere, man.
Enemies, nothing.
Today's celebrity birthday. John Lithgow is 72 years old today. Boxer Evander Holyfield turns 55. Jon Favreau, 51 years old. Trey Parker of South Park fame is 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, did you also already curse out Dr. Drew for getting you sick last week?
I did.
You mentioned that to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Drew got me sick last week. So
well done, Doc.
Thanks.
I really feel very bad about that. This has been an awful upper respiratory thing going around, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, he came into the studio for the first time in, what, a couple of years?
A couple of years, but still sick. Came in sick, which I thought was me really pulling my weight, you know,
right,
really
sure.
doing my job. But,
right.
Yeah, no.
Well, Dr. Drew, I'm so glad you're on. You always have a lot of great stuff going on to talk about it to drdrew.com. And usually we use this opportunity with our weekly visit to talk to you about something that's in the news and you can help us. But we got something a little different for you this week. I saw last week.
Is this my surprise?
This yes. is your surprise, yeah.
Okay, you cannot imagine. I want your listeners to understand. When Kevin and Bean and the crew say, we have a surprise for you, that's like a Halloween in a house, a Halloween right. horror house. Somebody's like, come this way with a surprise.
All right, usually it's bad.
It's not bad.
I think you're going to enjoy this one.
In fact, it's going to start off with me being supremely jealous of you because I was told that the reason you were unable to make your appearance with us last week is that you were called in on jury duty.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Did you go?
Well, I went. I showed up when I had to.
Uh-huh.
I am so miserable and angry, and I'm the whole process to me is just
why?
Draconian. Because you can't plan your week. You have to call in every night and wonder, is the axe going to fall? Do I have to go in tomorrow and cancel everything? You have no way of planning. And then once you go in, you have no way of knowing if you're going to be in prison there for weeks to go, beyond that.
That is all true. It's called doing your civic duty, being a goddamn American.
I promise I will do 2 years continuous when I retire. Why punish people?
All right. That's another topic. So I started asking around, is Dr. Drew famous enough that he would not be allowed on a jury, or if he were on a jury, would be too disruptive to the other jurors and to the proceedings in the courtroom? Because you see these stories every once in a while, like they say to Madonna, you can't be in the courtroom, that it'll all be about you, we're going to send you home. Then somebody like Tom Hanks comes along and they put him on a jury and he serves like a person. Taylor Swift, same thing, serves like a person.
Was what do you mean, like a person? Madonna.
Instead of like a celebrity.
You're not a person, Madonna.
Instead of like a celebrity is what I'm saying.
Okay, so there is something as being too famous, so that
as
you're
being
a distraction.
Too famous.
Okay.
So I started thinking, Dr. Drew, are you too famous to be on a jury? Would you be too much of a disruption in a courthouse because who the hell doesn't know who Dr. Drew is, right?
Well, and to be fair, I have a certain point of view that everyone knows I have, right?
Right, yes.
So it's not just I'm a known person. It's I'm a known person with a... expertise. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Especially I'm following you. Are you going to get me out of jury duty?
So far,
it's the greatest thing ever.
Especially depending on what the case was. If it's a case that involves drugs or something like that, you're absolutely right. So they might look at you as a biased person.
You'll find out if we help you or not at the end of this.
Oh, my God.
So when we had
the jury duty.
When we had that question, we said, how can we find out how famous Dr. Drew is? Beer Mug, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey,
what's going
on? Hey, guys. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Hollywood and Highland last night, and I just stood in the crowds of people with my microphone and was ambush interviewing them. And I asked them, I had a picture of Dr. Drew, and I asked them to see if they could recognize the person in the picture.
All right.
Oh, so this is our way of finding out just how famous Dr. Drew is.
You're going to get everything except me.
All right, here you go. Here you go, Dr. Drew. This is Beer Mug with his interviews.
Would you happen to know who this guy on this piece of paper is?
That is Dr.
Dr. Drupinski, that is correct.
I have no idea, man.
The governor.
Do you know?
Is it the mayor?
Not the mayor.
I know this. I recognize him, too.
Where do you think you recognize him from?
I know him. He's a political figure, I believe.
Who is this?
It's Dr. Drew. I think I've seen him before, but I don't remember him.
Where do you think you recognize him from?
News?
Close. He's done news. Dr. Drew.
From where?
Hey, do you guys know who this guy on this paper is?
Yeah.
Who is it?
From Teen Mom.
Teen Mom?
Something? The news anchor?
That's not Phil, right?
No. Not Dr. Phil. Do you know who this guy is right here on this paper?
Yeah, but I don't care for him.
He's a sex therapist, though.
Yes.
He's a chubbier version of Anderson Cooper. No offense, dude.
Hey, fellas, do you know who this guy right here is on this paper?
Dr. Drew. Definitely Dr. Drew. He's the silver fox, man.
I don't even think he's a doctor. This is some bullshit.
Do you happen to know who this guy is?
No, I don't.
Dude, he's the one that gives us a teen mom therapy.
Would you happen to know who this guy is right here?
No.
Have you ever seen this guy?
No.
What about you, sir?
I have no idea who that is.
Dr. Drew.
I don't know his name, but he's a newscaster.
It's Dr. Drew.
Isn't Dr. Drew black? Isn't he the guy that sold the headphones?
That's Dr. Dre.
That's Dr. Dre.
That's awesome.
Very different.
So
person.
Good. I wish I were Dr. Dre. I were only Dr. Dre.
Yeah, no kidding. I am so surprised how many, no offense, Doc, how many people on the street randomly knew who you were.
All right, I thought you'd get much more Anderson Cooper, Dr. Phil, now, Dr. That was, Oz. That's what I get on the street.
That was just highlights. So, Muggs, how many people did you talk to approximately?
I approximately talked to about 60 people, and I would say about 25 out of those 60 got you, Dr. Drew.
There you go.
Yeah. So almost half. So I would say maybe not too famous to serve on a jury.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I think we're not helping you.
No, I know. And listen, and I sat in a jury room where there were pictures all around saying, I serve my duty, and there's William Shatner's picture. But the great news is I was transferred to Pasadena, and here's the moral of the story. The woman, I wish I got her name, that manages the jury pool in Pasadena was so lovely and made it so pleasant. One person can make a horrible experience be okay. That's
remember that one woman's name.
No, I may go back and bring her flowers and get her name and bring back next week.
Well, we thought you would enjoy that tape on the street there, Dr. Drew. Listen, drdrew.com for all the podcasts and heal.com,
Dr.
of course.
DrDre.com as well, right?
Oh, I wish.
And the doctor has a live event coming up next Wednesday, speaking of Pasadena, at the Ice House. You and Mike Catherwood are doing what on stage?
You Live a Live podcast. So come on in, be a part of it. Come interact with us. They tend to be pretty good. And, of course, you know, Mike and Rudy and whomever else he cares to bring along refuses to plan anything. He gets furious with me if I say, hey, can we just, let's beat this out a little bit? Yeah. Or, I think Emily Moore from Sex and Emily will be with us, too. So at least I'll have somebody to fall back on.
All right, so that's next Wednesday in Pasadena. If you want to see the live show, you can get all the details on that and so much more at drdrew.com. Thanks for coming on, Doc.
Thank you, guys.
We have a feature called Beans People.
Well, we do now.
I mean, I feel like we should, right? Mm-hmm.
Look,
because the Armenian comedian would be my people.
That would be Kevin's people.
Yeah, because Bean hates him and Allie hates him.
I don't want to say anything bad about people who are under 90. They're fine. But the people who are over 90 are the ones I get really excited to talk to. I don't know. There's just something about surviving nearly a century that is just so impressive. And you've seen so much and you know so much. I think those people are to be treasured.
Sure.
And I was very excited when I saw Barney Smith in the news the other day. Barney is 96 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And he's in the news right now because he is putting up his life's work for auction, essentially. He's looking for a buyer of his toilet seat art museum. He's in Texas, and we thought we'd get Barney on the phone. in the first installment of Beans People. Barney, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Doing good, thank you.
Now, you have a toilet seat art museum. Explain, please.
Well, I'm a master plumber retired and a German electrician and a radio engineer and a maintenance engineer. I've got several hats that I can wear.
Mm-hmm. So, and how did you start making toilet seats into art, Barney?
Well, because I was doing artwork on canvas and canvas boards and on pieces of plywood. And so one day I went to the plumbing supply house to get some material. I was out on a job, and I went to the plumbing supply house. I said, what are you going to do with all those toilet seats laying out there on the dock? And they said, well, those are throwaways. We're going to put them in the dumpster. I said, I'd love to have some to do some artwork on.
Now, did they think you were crazy?
Oh, no. They knew who I was.
Oh, they did. Okay.
I've been dealing with them for many years. And, in fact, I was born on a plumbing truck. My dad was a master plumber, and my brother is a master plumber. He bought out my dad's plumbing shop whenever I ran off to Tennessee and spent 20 years with the Church of God. I took their high school, got my high school diploma with second highest honors from their religious education there.
Okay. Barney, if you don't mind me asking, how long ago did you start making your toilet seat art?
About 70 years ago.
Okay. How many toilet seats do you have?
I've got 1,325.
Oh, wow.
Is the one that I'm working on. I worked on it until 2 o'clock or 2:30 this morning. Got up this morning after I went to bed for just a few minutes. Well, then I got up and came in and started working on it again.
You can go to bed for just a few minutes and get back up and keep going?
That's right.
You rule.
Wow. Now, I noticed that some of them have everything from Pez dispensers. Some have troll dolls, that type of thing. Is there one that you're most proud of?
Well, the one that I'm most proud of has got a little communion cups on it, and it's an artist palette. And the little communion cups are cups that I have used. They're used cups that I got at the Methodist church here that I belong to here in Alamo Heights.
Okay, okay.
And, I mix up my paint and work out of communion cups. Well, whenever I found out about this little boy that was 12 years old, that was given a poem to say as a recital piece. His teacher, he was in the fifth grade. I was in the fifth grade. I was 12 years old. He was 12 years old. He was going to the same school that I was going to. And his teacher gave him this poem as a recital piece. And if you had a minute and a half, I could recite that piece verbatim, and I knew that little boy personally because it was me.
Oh, that was a plot twist.
Wow, plot twist. Plot twist indeed.
When Earth's Last Picture is Painted is a poem that was written by Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, wow.
And in the 1800 and something, I think it is.
Huh.
Back before the 10th turn of the century.
Right. Hey Barney, do you ever paint pictures of people or celebrities or anything like that on your toilet seats?
I've got the Rick Shaw was the King Antonio in 1960, I think it is, here in San Antonio.
Okay. So he's the only one?
I've got several of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've got Marilyn Monroe on a toilet seat.
Okay. There we go. All right. Okay. Now we're talking. Now you're not trying to sell these toilet seats individually. You want somebody to come in and buy the whole collection, right?
Yes, and put them up for in a museum.
I see. Right. So you want a museum to buy all of your pieces of art?
Right. I don't want them to be sold
Don't split them up.
Separate them apart.
Barney, do you have a lot of folks who come by to visit the museum throughout the year?
Got about 1,000 visitors a year.
Oh, wow.
About 81 foreign countries that have come in to see the Tortoise Seed Museum from all over the world.
Okay. By the way, for folks who want to play along online, we'll put the links up on the Kevin and Bean social media, or you can just Google Toilet Seat Museum or Barney Smith, and both of them will come up. We're almost out of time, Barney, but I want to run this by you, sir. My name is Bean. I'm one of the people on the show, and I'm going to be driving through Texas next week. Would it be okay if I stopped in to visit you?
Sure. You got my telephone number. Be sure to give me a call and let me know that you're in town and that you're coming by. I generally open it up at 1 o'clock every day. I've got it, visitors coming from California at 1 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock, I've got some local people that are coming to see it. Just today.
You're gonna have to squeeze him in. How much would we have to pay you to paint Bean?
Well,
on a toilet seat.
I'll paint your program and hang it up in the museum for a museum piece. You won't get to see it.
Oh. It would be better if we could see it.
You won't get to keep it.
I see.
You won't get to see it. If you stay around long enough.
I got you. Okay. So Bean will stay as long as it takes.
Okay. I'll bring a picture. I'll bring a picture of the whole show for you, Barney, and we'll see what we can do.
Bring me a group picture of all the cast there on your program. And then I'd love to have a DVD of the program that I'm talking on so that I can put it in my little DVD and play it to my visitors that come by.
We'll do that for you.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Barney, we'll shelve this for right now, and we'll talk again next week when I'm in Texas. But we're very grateful that you jumped on the phone with us today. We appreciate it so much, sir.
I want you to tell everybody that I've got a Facebook, and all they got to do is just pull up Barney Smith Tortoise Seat Art Museum Facebook. And about 50 pictures will come up there. It's different from the Google.
Okay. Sure. All right. It's a deal. That is done, Barney. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk again soon.
All righty. Come and see me.
All right. Sir. Thank you, Barney.
Bye-bye, Barney.
Bye to all of you. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Come on.
First of all, I love Barney.
I never wanted that to end.
Right? And second of all, if you don't stop Bean.
Oh, you have to, Bean.
Then am I a some bitch?
Yes, and I would so much rather he did just a solo piece on you rather than the group.
You know what? Tell you what, I'll commission it.
Yes.
Yes, I will
pay him
for
and
this.
just sit and let him paint.
Guys, he's 96.
And be nude. Bean, would you like to share the results of your poll on eggnog?
I can't say the
from today.
I can't say the choices out loud, Kevin.
But you could summarize.
We had a discussion first thing this morning about eggnog because I was excited. I broke into my first carton of eggnog for the season and I was enjoying it. Ralph was also an eggnog fan, although he thought I was getting into it a little bit too early. And then others on the show, including Kevin and assistant producer Christine, they hate eggnog, just hate it. So I put up a poll to find out what our listeners thought about eggnog. And 69%, Kevin, agree with you that it is not a good drink. And 31% are correct, which is it's nectar of the gods.
So that's how you interpret polls.
Yes, that is how I interpret polls. Exactly.
That's odd because
I'm surprised, Kevin, because it's basically like it's melted
sugar.
Ice cream.
I didn't say I hated it, by the way. He's exaggerating. I'm just like, I don't. If it's there, great. If it's not great, I don't really care.
If you could drink melted ice cream all day, you'd do it.
But I'd eat ice cream over melted ice cream any day. So why would I do that? Because I have ice cream that's frozen.
What if there were two options?
Eat the frozen one. I'm not an animal.
Good point. My bad. I didn't realize.
What's wrong with you?
I want to thank everyone, by the way, for the praise for my new character, Barney, and I hope you all appreciate it. He will be back. So
that
thanks
was
so much.
An actual 96-year-old man.
Yeah, right, Kevin. Sure was. And he'll be back, I'm sure. And, wink, wink.
And Bean is going to visit him, and he's going to get painted on a toilet seat.
He's going to get painted.
Come on, why would you do that? Why would you say that? Especially after an eggnog conversation, why would you even suggest that?
There's going to be a lot of eggnog and paint flying around that studio.
guys, I want to go by and see Barney.
Well, then do it.
But I have a schedule already.
Oh, for crap's
sake. And I have hotels booked, and
yeah,
I have
who
the
cares?
Whole deal.
How
and
far is it out of your way?
Hundreds of miles.
So I'm what? Going, you've gone further than that for nonsense?
I'm going across northern Texas.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere near San Antonio.
Well,
I'm
go just, to San Antonio. Change your plan. Isn't that where the world's largest pecan is?
Go to a different route.
Is it the world's largest pecan in San Antonio?
It's nearby.
Okay,
it's
so visit that for the fifth time.
It's in Seguin, Texas.
And
but
then go see Barney.
You know what? I'm going to be in San Antonio in 3 or 4 years. I'll check in with Barney then.
Oh, he's 96.
He's 96, for God's sakes.
He's not going anywhere. You heard him. He's going strong.
You don't deserve Barney.
That's
quite
true. That's true.
I'm going to think about it. I would love to.
There's another Beans wish list.
Oh, no.
I'd love to see Barney. I'd love to see Springsteen on Broadway. I'd love to see Bryan Cranston in London. You're just a big pile of wishes. That's all you are. And you know, they say poop in one hand and wish in the other. See which one fills up first.
I want to spend time with Barney.
Right. I want to do many things.
Right, but we're saying do it or don't.
I have a crippled load.
And maybe I will.
We're saying
maybe
do
I will
it
go by
or
okay.
don't.
All right.
Okay.
I'll let you know. I'll call you guys if I get to
You're not
going to
do it. Don't let us know
it.
Anything.
No, I'm serious. I'm seriously thinking about it. That was a great conversation. I didn't even get into asking him about living through the Depression. I have a lot of other questions for him.
Well,
so.
You got a podcast for that, and you should do a live one with Barney.
Okay.
Right. When you meet him.
I think Barney's the one dodging the bullet here, quite frankly, if Bean does not go.
Bean needs to go and do a podcast with Barney.
Because he'd be like, I don't want to talk to you no more about what the things you're asking.
What's the Depression, though? What was the lowest amount of money you think you ever had? Was it negative money?
Was it $1?
Was it $2?
All day about asking questions about the Depression. And I was like, what?
Well, because how often do you have a chance to talk to somebody who lived through it?
But why would you want to?
Because the things that people complain about today, it puts in perspective.
Well,
people now think they're poor if they can't afford cable,
podcast.
All right? These people couldn't afford a roof over their house.
Podcast.
Over their house.
Yeah, they had all the walls. It was
yeah.
weird.
Which
over their
house.
They just
yeah.
couldn't close the deal and get that roof put on. It was so frustrating. Can you imagine? You're there hanging your pictures on the walls that you got. The sun's just beating down. Oh, if I just had a roof over my house.
I'm just saying.
We're just saying. Stop by and do a podcast with your new partner, Barney.
Thank you.
Time for Ralph Show.
That he won't do. That Bean will not do.
He probably won't.
Would you, Ralph? Would you do it?
No, but you have a history of this.
I would absolutely go by to visit him, say hi, and look at that museum. Because that's a person. It's a human being. It's not a ball of twine. Mm-hmm. It's not the largest cement peanut or whatever the garbage that you usually look
at.
Yeah,
you've spent your life
seeing it. It's actually an interesting piece of Americana.
Okay.
Who All was right. more excited to talk to Barney than Bean?
It's not that I don't
not
love
in person,
Barney.
Kevin.
All right.
If it doesn't happen on the radio, it doesn't happen.
Well,
I would love to hang out with Barney. It's just it's an awful long way out of my way. That's the only thing I'm
that
saying.
That is not our
logistics.
Concern.
Okay.
Didn't you drive? How far did you drive to go to the house, the guy's house?
Oh, his Lord and Savior?
No, the other guy just recently, some guitar nice player house. Or something.
Oh, yeah, you drove like 300 miles to some guy's house.
Oh, when I went to see Jerry Lewis's boyhood home?
Yeah, yes. Jerry Lewis's boyhood home. Not even a person there, just a building. You drove 300 miles out of your way.
I did do that, that's true. That's
so, Barney.
Point. Well, that was Jerry Lee Lewis, though. That's one of the founding fathers
Barney.
Of rock and roll.
That's a house. That's just an empty place.
You didn't see Jerry Lee Lewis, by the way.
No, but it was a museum and everything. It was
so is this?
This is a museum.
A toilet bowl, toilet seat art museum.
Guys, I'm not arguing with you that it's not awesome.
No, you're arguing that you can't drive that far. We've all heard you for years drive to garbage places for
all
hundreds
you do.
Of miles. That's all you do.
Your life is spent driving thousands of miles to nonsense.
You're saying you can't do the one thing you do all the time.
And I guarantee Barney didn't marry his 13-year-old cousin.
Boom. You know what else he didn't do? Spike the ice cream with that other guy
right?
who visited with the satellite dishes.
Thank you.
He didn't do that either.
A lot of visiting real big creeps, but you can't fit in
that
Barney.
That's the truth. It's about Chuck Berry. You remember what he did?
Right?
Remember what he did? You went to Chuck Berry's funeral, didn't you?
No, I didn't go to
you
Chuck
You wanted
Berry's
to go,
funeral.
Though.
I did want to go.
Remember
but
what he did? We all remember that, don't we?
Don't play.
Don't we, Chip? All remember
don't,
that?
Don't play the tape. Chuck.
Okay. Right?
All right, we're way off. We're out of time now for showbiz. We don't even have any time
worth
to do it now.
What about the Wolfman? Would you visit the Wolfman? Oh, would you go to see him? Because I know you're a big fan. I get the sense you would drive hundreds of miles out of your way if I met a chance to celebrate the Wolfman.
Long live the Wolfman.
Right?
He is buried in the Smith family plot in central North Carolina, and I may head there one day.
People always ask, is everything you say about being true? Yes, it is.
More.
Yes.
All
more.
That and more. We don't have time for all the truth.
Long live the Wolfman. Hope you do that when you get to his burial plot, so he just plunges up out of the ground and grabs you by the throat.
Says, stop it.
I thought that was a very realistic impression of the Wolfman.
Yep. Long live the Wolfman.
Dead on.
Hey, since the show's over,
over. I got to give out Beer Fest tickets.
All right, let's do that first, and then we'll do the other thing.
I got a 4-pack of tickets to Bike Beer Fest at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Saturday. It's happening Saturday. It's 15 breweries, blackjack tables, food trucks, live music, and the best part, it's all going to be hosted by Beer Mug.
I love you, Poppy.
I got a 4-pack of passes to the Bike Beer Fest at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Saturday. Only one winner. Caller number 21, because you got to be 21 years of age or older.
Yeah!
So do your
guess.
That's
hot!
In order to win this. Four tickets right now. Call 1-800-520-1067 for a 4-pack of passes to the Bike Beer Fest at the Bicycle Hotel Casino. For more details, go to thebike.com. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Lithgow is 72. Evander Holyfield's 55. John Favreau is 51. Trey Parker's 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Quick plug. 10 o'clock this morning, just a few minutes from right now, go to krock.com. What's the backslash on that, Kevin? Do you know?
Savings.
Savings, okay. To buy the brand new limited edition Kevin Bean t-shirt going on sale.
Shouldn't it be saving, though?
It should be. Dave did that.
I think it's savings.
Just to prick me. 10 a.m. till 10 a.m. tomorrow, 24 hours only. Get your t-shirt and you'll have it in time for the time change on November 5th. Back to you.
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean show, including Keep It 100. We got the movie beat because it's Friday, and we're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas about his picks for the NFL.
Ah-hoo!
Plus, we got that as well.